This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to the freest edition of We Are Libertarians that has ever existed on the planet.
Woo!
Creighton's back. That's Creighton.
Did you miss me?
This was my life the last 4 months.
Yeah, you... That is Nick Taylor. Nick, how are you doing?
Good.
Nick is Creighton's roommate. And then Chris Peffers is there as well.
Hello.
For his insightful commentary.
Very insightful.
I just realized, Top Gun, Goose.
Yes! They can't see you pointing.
I know.
And then Greg's here too.
Hello, how are you?
See, the good thing, excuse me, if you... there's a couple good things about this podcast.
Just a couple.
All good things about this
podcast. All good things about this podcast. Number one is if you listened to last week's episode with Melissa, you could hear my voice getting rougher and rougher. I started to sound like Diane Reams by the end of it. I was like,
and Melissa, what are you doing?
It was slightly higher pitched, too. There was the occasional pubescent squeal.
Archie, Archie.
I completely lost my voice on Friday. I was unable to speak all day Friday and Saturday. And then
I bet your coworkers were very thrilled.
Oh, they were laughing their ass off because I was like squeaking and making noises and like
Jeff Brivett probably was happy as can be because you couldn't go around annoying everybody in the office.
Go check out Jeff's Jeff. Actually, it's going to be posted tomorrow when we post this. So the day that this is posted, go to check out Jeff Fibbert's podcast in the iTunes store, and I'm his latest guest. Very insightful podcast from your dear leader. And I was his first, so there's two in that feed for me.
You were his first.
Well, someone had to teach him how to podcast.
And you can swipe that card whenever you want.
I was thorough and gentle with him. As you can tell, my voice is not up to snuff. It sounds in my head a little bit deeper. Sound like Barry White in my head, but I probably don't sound any deeper to you people. And I have a cough that has persisted for a week, so I have taken cough medicine. And it just literally kicked in.
Are you loopy?
He's high as a kite.
I am high as fuck.
And Peppers, you are not the highest person on this podcast.
Let's not go that far.
Give me 20 minutes.
3 brownies, 20 minutes, and 1 vaporizer. Two nights this week, I took my cough medicine, took 50% more than I was supposed to take, and then I took 2 Benadryl, and I was out by 6 p.m., and I slept all the way to 4:30 the next morning.
Not true. I specifically remember you waking up several times and messaging me incoherence. And
true.
Then right back to sleep.
One of those nights was last night, and Hannah Drozich messaged me. She's like, it was like 8:30, and she's like, did you know Gordon Ramsay is in a movie? I'm like,
what movie? Was like,
I don't know. It's like something about cooking, and I
of course. Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And so she sent me this message. I hope I still have it. I wrote. She goes, "Did you know Gordon Ramsay is in a movie? WTWF." Awesome as fuck.
Yeah. That was pretty much what you had going for you the last couple nights you've been on Benny's.
I've not been well, so I've just been enjoying myself. And
so that's why this is the freest podcast.
Yeah, my mind is just so expanded
right
now.
Uninhibited.
So I'm on cough medicine. The other good part is that Creighton's here, so I don't really need to talk a lot.
Woo! it's been a while.
It has been, but Creighton is never to be forgotten because he's only one Ric Flair woo away.
I am the Rolex wearing.
Now.
Diamond ring wearing.
So you need to go check out. Today is July 2nd, What happened on July 2nd, Creighton?
The Lee Resolution in 1776 was officially passed, so today is the actual Independence Day. Suck it, King George!
So if you go to July 2nd on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you can see the absolute magnificence of what Creighton is wearing today. It is a skin-tight, sleeveless shirt in the American flag style.
It's a tank top.
Tank top.
Because that's not a shirt.
it's kind of a high collar for a tank top.
It is. Like something it's really not a tank top because
it
doesn't dip
like
down.
$15 on Amazon.
It's kind of formal, actually, with the height of the collar.
Are you saying?
I'm saying you could put a white blazer over that and probably go to a wedding.
And then he's wearing American flag.
Dude, that would be like Crockett.
You can't fly a Confederate flag.
No, can't do that.
And you can't burn an American flag, but you
can. I don't want anyone to think.
But you can put an American flag right next to your genitals and rub them all over it.
Hey, ain't nothing going to celebrate freedom more than that.
And
dank freedom. And,
he's wearing aviators and an American a flag bandana.
Ooh, yeah.
And so we also have on Instagram a little video of him getting pumped before the podcast.
We're an American podcast.
Full liberation was indeed.
Is this what he's like all the time, Nick?
It just depends on how active Rand Paul has been recently.
There's nowhere to hide a Rand boner in that outfit.
No.
Hey, these ain't John Travolta shorts, all right? There's plenty of room.
Yeah, we can see all your Rons and your Pauls.
Anyone that would like to see that meme, I've actually made it of Spangle before.
Oh, well, this is going to be quite the episode. It was nice having Nick and Chris here.
See
just take relax. The three of us will just sit back. Comfortable.
You guys have fun.
Hi,
everybody.
Greg brought beer, so Creighton can just keep going.
Yeah.
Peppers was like, so we've been planning Freedom Fest for here for 2 to 4 weeks.
Randapalooza.
Yeah. Creighton's a busy man. You got to schedule him. And
well,
I had to run into him drunk at a bar to even see him.
I can do the derivative of the hyperbolic inverse cosine.
Well, that's great, but I need you on a podcast. So, which is more important to your future?
School is for fools, kids.
Yeah, drop out and pursue your dreams.
Yeah,
which is clearly, you know,
just doing your podcast,
impregnating a bald eagle.
It's hybrid.
That's a whole new meaning to a crying bald eagle.
So Nick, how many times do you hear Toby Keith blaring in the middle of the night?
I mean, it never stops. So once.
Is that what
if it's just a constant blare?
There was a scratch on the CD.
Oh, and then do you hear Liberty? I'm coming.
I just play the national anthem on my guitar, on repeat.
Oh, I miss that.
I don't. It's one of the most obnoxious things that has ever happened in my home. Creighton walks.
Because I was just melting faces.
Creighton walks into my home. Unannounced, unasked.
Whatever, we were there for the podcast.
I know, and you played the guitar the whole time.
No, I played the guitar.
Did your wife ever come back from getting groceries?
No. I'd say too soon, but I'm loving life too much compared to back then, that's for sure. The old days are old for a reason.
That's right. Because she died.
Nah, just to me.
Yeah.
Someone just texted me crazy pants, like right at the exact same time we started talking about my ex-wife. Hilarious. So, THC level, what are we at? Like a positive 14 on a scale of 20? What are we at?
It's just like a continuum, right?
All right. So. Yeah, you can't stop the train.
Stop labeling.
Yeah.
The tyranny of the binary.
Right. Oh, all right, well.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
What? Is it
the
James?
The tyranny of the binary.
The tyranny of the binary. James Neese writes.
Oh, gosh.
If you aren't in our super secret group, you need to go, you need to message the We Are Libertarians Facebook page and we'll hook you up. But it's, what is the name of it? I forget because
The We Are Libertarians Educational Inner Circle or
Institution for Higher Learning.
Yeah.
Yes. No, the We Are Libertarians Educational Institute of Higher Liberty Learning. You can ask to join there. James Neese is on a tear today.
He is active.
He's always active.
What was it today?
Oh my god, the thing you posted about you.
His Facebook page hooked up to his brain.
He might have more energy than you create.
So James writes, Greg Lenz, I have 13,281 wall points.
Oh god.
I think
oh god.
I think I have enough to plow Aaron Ewart's wife.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. 11, it literally is their anniversary.
11 years today. And I'm cashing them in today. Chris Spangle, note this in my wall account. I'm going raw.
I thought he already went too hard in the paint.
And Aaron, in a private message that James screenshotted and wrote.
It was a secret group that Chris is going to tell everybody.
Aaron writes, stop, LOL. James writes, top, kek. I don't know what that means. Aaron,
top. Kek is orcish for law. It's from World of Warcraft.
Yeah. All right.
It means it's one of the funniest things you can put.
Aaron writes, trying to fuck me out of lovemaking tonight. Shut up.
Peppers for the win over
it's,
here.
That is a true story.
Aaron wrote that?
Yeah.
Well, guess Becky's going to be accepting that friend request because that's going to be leverage.
James Neese writes, let me three-way with you guys. Wall life. Cashing in my wall points for some Eiffel Tower action. And Aaron writes, no. James Neese writes, oh, I get it. You're an ANCAP. $50 in bitcoins. Oh. And then James, I said, you ate dear leader, bitch. Prima Nocta is mine. It's my turn. And James writes, Duke Greg Lenz, house of no Jews, blacks, or Catholics on the course. Earl Joe Ruiz, the house of 40 relatives in one Dodge van.
And pay your bills, Joe.
Lord James Neese, the house of wool caps and old Mercedes. So that is the that is the fun we are having there. That James, I'll tell you, man, he is out
Sounds
of control.
Sounds like everyone's having a lot of fun, yeah.
It's going to be a new brutalist.
He decided to troll my post about Joe Biden, but a really good friend's dad had made the mistake of commenting and saying, I don't even know you anymore, and his name's... It sounds like a local southern suburb of Indianapolis. And he goes, Beach Grove, why is the trailer park friends with you?
I'll tell you what, now that he's partying less hard than he used to when I knew him several years ago, he is definitely getting funnier and funnier. So
he's way more coherent.
And you'll
it's
have
literally
to.
It's like literally what happens if you upload to 4chan into a robot.
Yeah, like he is the living incarnation of 4chan. Did you? I know I'm not going to presume that you listened to the podcast in which you found it. But if you go, have you heard the podcast with James Neese from a few weeks ago? Oh my god!
It was pretty fantastic.
It was great. He dropped a parallel, like just out of nowhere. He's like, you know, dog, fuck Joe Ruiz and these parallel Mexicans.
And then it just
the last time
it entered
the
lexicon.
Podcast with him. Last time I was on the podcast with him, I think we lost listeners. So
he was 2 hours late. Then he did a story time with Gina or an Untouchables episode with Maya and was like talking about how he was dumpster diving.
No, I'm talking about the one where we argued about. Mutualism or something.
That's the one that's when right, he was yeah. 2 hours late and he showed up, his car had broken down, and he showed up and he had $100 in his wallet, and that was it. He had $100 bill, and Spangle had just asked him about, what are you doing with your life, son? And he goes, he pulls that $100 bill and he goes, how many guys do you know that just got $100 in their pocket?
That episode's somewhere in the 30s, and his name is in the title if you want to go hear the majesty that is James Neese. So, Creighton, what have you been up to? What are you doing?
School, work.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing too exciting.
How's the...
I can tell by your attire, nothing too exciting is yeah. going on.
Well, that's because America's Independence Day is in 2 days!
I was going to turn up his mic so we could hear him, but then I'm glad I didn't. Now, how is the prom queen of Liberty? That's what we all want to know.
She's good.
She's good? Yeah, all right. She's everything good?
She's back in LA.
Many, many, many young men listening to this podcast right now hoping you say things are bad. They're going to be sliding in them DMs.
They are not.
All right. Okay. Sucks to be you.
She's finishing up her last semester before she'll have a master's degree.
So. Nice.
When are you guys getting wed?
Yeah. When's the marriage? Kids? 4?
All right.
Minivan? You can get a minivan? Right. Minivan?
Is this too much?
No. Yes.
Are you getting a little squeamish?
Yeah, someone has managed to shut up.
Hey, he's sitting right here. I can make it way more awkward, okay? I can take it to an 11.
Now, Nick, you've met Whitney. You have met her. Yes.
I know. I'm not going to do that to you, Nick Taylor.
No, but I remember we haven't got to discuss with Creighton as a three, you know, as a group. You know, how's Whitney? Are they good? How's the relationship as an outsider that observes it?
I mean, I really only got to observe in passing because, like, we're both pretty busy people. But Whitney seems like a cool enough person.
Did he bench press her in front of you?
What think that I would do that?
I just assume that if
that's
you're...
That's a thing that Creighton does in private.
Whenever I know someone well enough, like, hey, why don't you let me bench press you?
I'm just assuming...
Want to see a trick?
Hey, Whitney, let's show him the thing. Let's show him the thing,
you
Whitney.
Know what I'm picturing is, what is that show, Dirty Dancing, where he lifts her up?
Yeah, no one puts baby in a corner,
but with Creighton, he puts on that song and he just lays down on a bench and lifts her up in the air.
He throws her up in the air and her head goes through the ceiling. Yeah. I'm just guessing that that's the way that you woo a woman. You know, you grab her arm, you grab her leg, and then you start just doing bicep curls. Oh, that's my leg. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
It is. Nick, I felt a vibration, a
Nick
tremor.
Nick legit thought there was an earthquake, but it was just my massive...
I was very confused. I had a few beers at Shallows before I came here.
Did you?
So I wasn't sure if I was...
I have a nervous
if
tick.
My equilibrium was off. Or...
I shake my leg. So
it's a tick.
Now, Nick, you, this may be one of your final podcasts here for a while. You are leaving the area... Yeah. You are going to be gone and probably not forgotten.
Hopefully not.
Maybe. It depends on how much Peffers has smoked.
I mean, I just met you last podcast.
If Peffers walks in...
Yeah, I can smoke so much, everyone forgets.
It's possible, man.
You get a contact memory loss.
Everybody needs a life mission, man. Contact memory.
I bet you could get federal funds to study that. I guarantee it.
All you got to do is say that it's religious research for
Philippine scientists.
This is a very serious issue close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But marijuana research is not being funded.
No.
No.
Because it's been illegal.
It's illegal. So, like, there are lots of other, like, cocaine research has been funded.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel bummed out. It's a serious bummer.
Worse than when that's a cop shoots a black person?
What kind of comparison is that?
Because cops shooting black people really bums me out.
I know. It bums me out, man.
I just wanted to rate it on the continuum.
Cops shooting anyone bums me out. Let me clarify that.
Honestly, people being shot.
Yeah.
In general.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
I think we can all agree.
I don't believe in universals.
Do not take the word bummer lightly.
I don't think
bummer in this context means something way more.
Bummer. Yeah, it's terrible.
Bummer, bummer,
like, rape is a bummer.
Is a big bummer.
Did you just hear that? Rape's a bummer, man.
I'm triggered.
I know. You got him all flustered.
I'm like crying.
I know. I'm so triggered.
And you guys didn't want me to invite Peffers. Which really bummed him out.
No.
I thought we were all cool.
Like rape level bum?
We are cool, but every time we have over four, it turns into an absolute madhouse. And this proves that theory.
I mean, what do we have to talk about this week?
The Ronimal and the Randimal.
No, let me say, the absolute worst. Worse than like when we had 12 people for the 100th. The worst podcast that we ever did that I just could not control at all was you and I, Creighton, Maya, and Gina.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the Boston bombing episode.
Yes.
And the Boston bombing.
And when they were getting flustered, that's when I'd had enough and said I'd black out the skies with drones and missiles and eliminate the Middle East. And that got everybody all rustled.
That just sounds like a massacre.
I know.
Like, those people, huh?
You have to threaten, though, or else people don't take you seriously.
Believe it or not,
Creighton has matured, despite that outfit. I mean, in the early days of the podcast.
I think that outfit shows a lot of maturity, no, personally.
There was like
about 300-something years of maturity, right?
Yeah.
Or 200 something.
Technically, 249. Next year will be the 250th.
He knows
that
calculus.
Almost rounds up
he
to 300.
I can do the derivative of it.
Yeah.
You should drop out and come join the podcast. So
out of college, do this podcast for free. That's your life.
So like that the first, all the 2012 episodes, the first 30 episodes or whatever, they were at Rupert's headquarters. And Creighton was like dialed in and knowledgeable. And it's not that you haven't been knowledgeable, but there was that time when we went to my apartment where I lived with my wife, where you just lost control. You're like bringing electric guitars and like Greg would be in the middle of a history lesson and then you just start playing Hendrix.
That happened one time and it was glorious.
And I was talking about the NWO and he played Hulk Hogan's entrance music. He played Voodoo Child, I believe.
Hey.
Yeah, brother.
It was metal
faces. What you gonna do?
And then you went to work for y'all, and you got much more mature, except for that time that you passed out drunk in the middle of
another
podcast.
And that had nothing to do with
it. Did not.
Allegedly.
He didn't.
I also didn't pass out.
No, he was still at the party.
So,
he was just taking a nap.
You don't work there anymore, and we have reposted the episode, unedited. I think it was like
81.
81. Yeah. And... You are. We begin with you giving the Independence Day speech.
I was asked to give the Independence Day speech by Greg and Joe.
No, right? And like the other y'allers.
Maybe.
And we egged it on and encouraged
it. Totally egged it on. I'm pretty sure you initialized the
we said that he does an incredible Independence Day speech, and then the people started chanting Creighton.
This is shortly.
It's like a 20-second speech.
This is shortly after the CPAC party of. The last one, not the most recent one, but the one before that.
Rand won the first straw poll.
When Rand was there, and we had a party at the house I lived at, and we, you know, I gave a toast that was like a speech. It was a cheesy Dr. Seuss poem supporting Rand Paul.
It was a lot like Cocktails.
Yeah, it was just like a joke. Everybody was there and like was watching, and it was like just big cheers and all this, and it got covered in. In Breitbart, London. Somebody at the party worked for Breitbart, London. So that party made international news. And it was a hit piece, though. And so shortly after that...
It made it even funnier.
Yeah. So shortly after that is when we had the other speech, the Independence Day speech. What's funny, though, the follow-up hit piece, like we had the hit piece, and then we all were like arguing with the guy. And the follow-up hit piece was by some other girl. And like the incriminating photo... was our picture of a picture of our wall where we had like John Locke up to Ron Paul and all these history of like thinkers, like liberty thinkers, and they're like, these guys are crazy.
It was a hate piece against we are libertarians.
It was against the people at the party. Yeah. They were typecasting us as libertarians, quote, in general. The Rand Paul supporters. Yeah. But anyway, the picture was of our wall where we had, it was like John Locke, and it went all the way up to Ron Paul. And in between there was like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Murray Rothbard, all these libertarian thinkers and stuff. And they're like implying that this is crazy. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, we got pictures of like famous thinkers on our wall, and you think we're crazy. Like, and then we go to Thomas Jefferson's house, and he's got John Locke and
Thomas Paine,
and Sir Francis Bacon on the wall.
So
like Thomas Jefferson, this crazy libertarian.
So the question I was going to ask, so we put up this podcast, and you give the Independence Day speech, and then Greg and Joe are in a hotel room, and they say that, don't do that. Don't open that with your teeth. That's a beer. Oh!
Creighton's got a tooth tonight.
He is in his American flag tank top. We can't tell him not to open a beer with his teeth.
Oh, God. Do you have your chew with you?
No. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah, he quit.
Good. And so they jokingly say that you're passed out drunk behind them as they're doing the podcast. You get called into the principal's office that next week. What happened? Why did I have to take a podcast?
No, before that email came out, he just all of a sudden in the middle of the day, and Creighton's not real active in chat, and it just said, GD, guys. And Joe and I immediately knew what had happened. But we would have never thought in a million years he Michael Frazee would listen to We Are Libertarians.
No, yeah. So Jeff.
Filtered. Founding it.
Yeah. So Jeff got it. I'm sure it was because you guys put Young Americans for Liberty in the description. So he gets a Google alert anytime something pops up on the internet that says Young Americans for Liberty. So I got an email from him, and he's like, you know, basically like saying that this is a fireable offense if you're drinking in front of people that, like, you're at work and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God.
And to our credit, all he said was you were passed out. We didn't say why or what caused you to be passed out.
Well, I got the impression that it was the speech more than you guys implying that he was drunk.
We never put that out at all. Like, that didn't come out. Like, it was on YouTube, and that was just for us.
No, it was at the beginning
of the podcast. Yeah.
I thought you took that out.
No.
Yeah.
No, and it's still there.
I should have listened to that episode.
It starts off with me giving this speech. And he's like, so
you were mad that you gave the Independence Day speech?
No, I wasn't mad. Like,
It was clear
that sober minds did not prevail.
They were just not happy that we implied that he was wasted.
Well, in this party we were at,
never drink.
So he effectively scared the crap out of me. So it worked.
I messaged him and sent him a big long email, and then he was like, "Don't worry about it, man. I'm just trying to scare him." And I was like, "Oh, thank God! Now I can really wrestle him."
Yeah, we took it down and we just put it back up like in April or so. But I mean that it was down for about a year, I would say, because that would have been
till his last paycheck cleared.
Yeah, exactly. Once he left, we put it back up. But yeah,
you guys are great.
Yeah,
we should put it out with this one.
That
good
was
luck getting your next job, buddy.
That was during that was during my lost weekend. So if you listen to the one from the end of February in 2014.
Remember we drunk dialed Spangle from my car.
Oh yeah.
From your car.
I was like six shotguns in at that point. Yeah. So
I
do you remember it was raining so hard and like we went to this liquor store and like
random
we're
as
just,
can be.
Yeah, just sprinting through the parking lot to this liquor store and got like a 12 pack of PBR. And
that,
like
we got a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot. we go to this party and I like we're drinking all this. I'm pretty sure I finished all the PBR, I think. But like I just remember it was so funny because we're sprinting through the rain. Like you guys are like, "Oh, don't worry, the hotel's not far, we'll walk." And it was like sprint. It was so raining so hard.
And so we ran back to my car and then we drove the car to the party. And that party, I would guess we were about one of five that could probably provide the Sabbath.
I
provide the Sabbath.
Plead the fifth.
The sacramental. Holy water.
Okay. Plead the fifth all over that one, man.
The other ones were like convicted felons or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was because everybody else was a criminal, not because anyone was underage.
No.
All right, well,
we wouldn't do that even as libertarians.
No.
We should get to some topics.
Yes.
We should talk
about...
We were on topics, but we need to talk about things and stuff. So we are going to talk mostly about 2016. There is a troubling trend among some of you libertarians that we need to discuss. And with Creighton here...
Is it Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the worst trend ever.
Yeah. It is a little troubling, yes.
It's like, the hipstertarians.
Oh, my God.
It's the hipsters.
And then we're going to talk...
It's the douchebags.
We're going to talk...
douchebags.
He's all right as
the douchebag Aryans.
And we're off. Greg, why don't you... Greg, why don't you tell us about Bernie Sanders, and I'll explain what we're going to talk about later when we finally get to it.
Well, Uncle Bernie is off to a perceived hot start because he's starting from nothing. And so that's what all the fake excitement's over. Is he starting from a guy who literally... Lincoln Chaffee's also another guy running for the Democratic presidency, governor of Rhode Island.
Let's make everything metric.
And so like Lincoln Chaffee getting one donation is 100% increase.
Yeah.
And so that's basically where Bernie Sanders was starting from, but for whatever reason he caught fire. Like
no, it's
the left,
because it's because
it's
red,
people
it's,
are
red.
Sick.
It's Ron
the
Paul version
sick.
Democrat.
Yeah.
They're sick got, of who of Hillary and
but
stuff.
That isn't Bernie Sanders. That is not Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is technically an independent, but Bernie Sanders caucuses with the Democrats and votes with the Democrats 97% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say that he's Ron Paul of the left is to say that Ted Cruz is the new Ron Paul.
No, he's got some of the same appeal.
He does, because he's kind of your old quirky grandpa.
Yeah,
he's got some of the same appeal. That's all I was saying.
I mean, Bernie Sanders is running as an independent.
Yeah, but like, so there is that comparison there.
He's like the savior for the R politics who fell out of war of Elizabeth Warren.
That's exactly who it is. Reddit he replaced Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, and Elizabeth Warren's like, oh, I could support Bernie Sanders. Like, oh God, that could be a game changer. It's like, whatever. No,
but
it's
no, because
Elizabeth Warren's support isn't it.
And the rumor is that Elizabeth Warren got promised Secretary of Labor by Hillary Clinton for agreeing not to run. And so if that's the case, then it went from a field that was already no one on the left, because Hillary Clinton was running.
Yeah.
To now, it's a field of Bernie Sanders, who in any other Democratic primary would not get any traction at all. None. Like, he'd be the kook fringe left. He might have a debate home run. And
he'd be Dennis Kucinich.
He'd be Dennis Kucinich. Yeah. And so,
his armpits would stink.
But I mean, you could kind of say the same thing about Rand Paul.
No, because Rand Paul's literally pulling top three in the states.
Rand Paul consistently pulls.
Spangle did
the
not
top.
Get that joke.
And you're talking about a huge
Bernie Sanders
field.
Bernie Sanders
top
is surging in the. Well, yeah, because there's three candidates. Yeah. But he's surging in the polls, and he's down 35 in one state and 29 in the other one.
And he's getting destroyed in fundraising.
Yeah, and like the Bloomberg Politics today, he raised $15 million in 2 months, which is awesome,
guys. It doesn't matter. Polls this far in advance don't mean crap.
Yeah.
Not to mention national polls the day before an election never mean crap. Like, a national poll is meaningless. The only ones that matter are the ones that are maybe statewide
the
polls.
Polls actually have a bigger audience than an election, even before.
But
even
I'm
like
just
the
saying,
there is though an issue.
Like,
though.
Like, the fundraising alongside of it. Does
no, this
tell
is my point.
Story,
this is my point. Donald Trump is polling like second for Republicans. If anyone thinks Donald Trump is going to be the second most powerful candidate in the Republican primary, they need to go jump off a building.
No,
everyone's
definitely going to be the number one guy drawing TV.
He's polling well, but that doesn't mean anything because polls don't matter.
He's gonna fall off as soon as the debates come. As soon as the debates hit Donald Trump, he's
what matters
fall.
Is how much money you can raise and how many volunteers you can get.
That's what I'm saying.
I tend to so on Rand. The problem with Bernie is there's a big discrepancy of Bernie polls Rand voters, which is like you would never expect in a million years.
It's so stupid for the
but
reasons he does.
That's the way it is.
It's
Bernie
not,
is
that's
polling
not
voters
hold.
And supporters from Rand Paul.
It's not going to hold.
It won't, because Bernie won't get the Democratic nomination.
But in Iowa
and
New Hampshire, it matters a ton.
Guys, you guys are talking about a horse race that the horses haven't even been born yet.
Those two the first
two
states.
Is there anyone else who might be voting Democrat?
That's exactly
what
I'm going to be voting.
I really don't see Hillary Clinton making the nomination either. And like, I mean, I guess she's the favorite, but
unless a scandal.
How much did you smoke today?
Yeah. Hillary Clinton's gonna walk.
I mean, I feel like people.
It's the Clintons.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary still doesn't have a real challenger yet.
No, the only real challenger is if Joe Biden were to get in.
As soon as like a real challenger shows up, Hillary's gonna start losing ground.
There
isn't
one.
She's not gonna know how to handle it.
I just don't think the Democrats will produce one.
I think they want to.
She's buying them all off with promises of the secretary cabinet position.
Yeah, she's gonna walk in with it.
The only real challenger is Jim Webb, and he's so brand new, and he just announced today, but Jim Webb is going to be that. He has the chance in the modern era. You can win a primary. You can win a state without much of a staff if you're a rock star like Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich pulled off in the last GOP
primary. All Jim Webb needs is the media push that he will eventually get.
And people love that guy. Like, he is an incredible orator.
It's going to be the same as Ben Carson. It's going to be the same thing.
And like, except he's got chops. Like, he was against the Iraq War. His son was in Iraq. When George W. Bush saw him after the invasion, in the White House, he goes, "How's your boy doing?" And Jim Webb has the balls to say to him, "Well, I'd like to get him out of Iraq." And Bush says, to him, "That's not what I asked." And he goes, "Well, sorry about it, bud." To the president, called him bud.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah. And so, like, there's part of me that likes
him. The president bud if it's George Bush, though.
True. It is Bush, but like, but Jim Webb is a guy that's. Jim Webb's a guy that he was Reagan's undersecretary of the Navy, so second in command. Mm-hmm. And so he's got bipartisan appeal. He's going to kill Hillary's white middle-class voters, or the male middle-class voters that she has to have if she's going to win a presidential nomination.
You know what drives me crazy about all this, though, is it's really a moot point Like, if you get anyone other than Rand Paul in that nomination, it's a moot point. Because Hillary's going to win the Democratic nomination. And if anyone is up there that cannot pull Democratic votes, which is basically anyone but Rand Paul, then she's going to walk into the
one, no one else can attack her on any position other than, like, scandals. Exactly. The only thing that they're going to go up there and be like, you didn't do Benghazi. You didn't do this. And like, Randall do that, too. But Randall also be like, you didn't go to Ferguson. You did. You were for the Iraq War. You were against gay marriage before you were for it. Like, all this kind of stuff. And, like, no one else is going to be able to make that call because the Republicans are right there with her.
Loss.
I don't think Chris Christie's going to make the first round of the debate.
No, Chris Christie's
Chris Christie's going to get worn out before he makes it to the podium.
Strong point.
I do too, like, and I just don't think he
Chris Christie
used to think Chris Christie didn't have any appeal, but then I saw his town hall meetings.
He's great at it, but he's not going to get
there. I mean,
he's
a pretty big bully when it comes to debate style.
But he's smart. I mean, he's a former prosecutor.
I'm so excited for the Republican debates because I think
Ted Cruz is good at town halls too, right?
Chris Christie's debate style.
Chris Christie's got a natural leadership quality.
My point
is
that listen, you guys, we're looking at these things from like an optics perspective.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, the nuts and bolts, the machinery of how political campaigns work is who can get the volunteers out and who can get the most money raised. Occasionally, you do have a candidate that is just an out of nowhere guy who is just like filling some void that no one I know, like Obama was that in 2008.
Yeah. How long
Obama
was
that?
But he still had fundraising to go with it.
No, listen. My point is that Obama in 2008 was this guy who was this young, fresh guy who's a Democrat. He was to the left of Hillary, and it was just something that that Democrats were wanting.
Yeah.
But by and large, but those are the anomalies to the rule. Another one is Ron Paul.
Like
he's this guy that came out of nowhere and ignited this grassroots people that stayed active afterwards. No one stayed active for John McCain after John McCain went. But the thing is like, if you're going to have a strong campaign, it takes money and it takes volunteers. It doesn't take people saying on polls and going and saying that Macy's is, you know, they're settling a lawsuit with their because they hate black people or whatever the heck Donald Trump said about Macy's.
No,
the thing is if you can look at optics all you want, but when it comes down to it, whoever has name recognition matters, but whoever has money, whoever has volunteers is what counts, and Hillary's got both.
Well, I feel like Hillary's always had that.
Exactly.
But
and that's,
she
and
hasn't
she,
gotten anywhere.
But the only reason she lost in 2008 was because Obama was that anomaly candidate.
And
it doesn't happen.
I feel
but
there's
like,
always an anomaly that
like,
stands
like
in
Reagan was that anomaly
is
candidate
Obama
back in 2008.
Obama got the fundraising,
or 1980.
Too. Obama stole that fundraising.
And that's, yeah,
and that's
if
the
Bernie
thing
Sanders
about the Republican Party.
The fundraising.
Is like, that's what scares me about Rand, is he's not going to steal any fundraising. Like, he's just not going
It depends. Right now, Rand Paul is not going to have access to the same donors that people like Jeb Bush does because he's Rand Paul and they're the other guys, and he's like, anybody can win but Rand Paul, he'd be terrible. But when push comes to shove and everybody starts dropping out, and if Rand Paul's volunteer base is worth its salt like I think it is, and he's still got some money, he still has some money-raising capabilities, push comes to shove and he's actually he's there with other people and some people are dropping out, then some donors are going to start being like, wow, this guy, you know, he's a strong candidate, he's Republican, whatever, and they're going to, because Republicans,
well, he's got thicker skin than most Republicans.
Yeah, but people tend to forget that Republicans are so spineless when it comes to campaigns. They like to talk a big game and say how they're going to support the small government guy, that they want the real conservative and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes down to it, all you got to do is say the Hillary's going to win, and they get scared and they vote for Mitt Romney. And that's how it works every time. The donors are the same freaking way.
Yeah, well, with the Democrats, Hillary, Obama will bite his tongue. And he will push his organization to support the Democratic nominee, whomever it may be, because he doesn't want the Republicans to win the White House. Especially.
Tell your cat to stop digging its claws in me.
Oh, push her off. Push her off. Sorry.
She's got a claw stuck in me.
Mittens
right.
Gets you every time you're here. She must love weed. So,
she keeps sniffing my pocket. I don't know why.
That's a drug sniffing cat, son. Stand up and empty your pockets. But Obama doesn't, mainly because of the Supreme Court, the Democrats aren't going to want to lose, so Obama will push because all those justices that are liberal-leaning are older, like people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Creighton's right, the Republicans are going to push whoever the nominee is. Rand is a second-tier candidate, And when Ted Cruz drops out, his supporters are going to go to Rand, not Jeb Bush. You know, when Scott Walker's people drop out, half are going to go to Jeb, half are going to go to Rand.
Mike Huckabee's one that people are underestimating a ton. The guy won Iowa last time.
No, I don't think anyone's ever underestimated Mike Huckabee.
They did in 2008, but he's a known quantity at this point.
He won
so
Iowa.
So was Mitt Romney.
So what?
I guess he won.
So what? Like,
that
so kind of
matters.
Rick Santorum, everyone thought Rick Santorum won Iowa for a bit.
But that's because those are the same voting
base.
Rick Santorum is running this year, isn't he?
The people that we think are joke candidates, it's like Occam's razor. The simplest answer is most likely the right one. If they look like a joke, they sound like a joke. If they're perceived as a joke right now, they're probably a joke. And Mike Huckabee is a joke. 2008, maybe not a joke. Right now, he's a joke.
I don't know. He's got the campaign infrastructure in place.
He's not quite a Trump level joke, though.
No, he's not a Trump level joke.
It's crazy.
He's like a drunk guy at a bar who can't finish the joke right, but it's still a joke.
It is absolutely crazy to underestimate Donald Trump. Everyone's gonna do it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's gonna mock him.
Did you hear what he said about wanting Mexico to pay for the wall we're building on?
It was brilliant.
You know the thing that like roughly 80% of the conservative race believes.
Do they honestly believe Mexico is going to pay for it, though?
This doesn't matter though. If Rand Paul has no chance of winning the election, then I hope that Donald Trump wins the primary, because it would be amazingly bad for our country in a real long-lasting sense if Donald Trump won the presidency, and I can just sit back and watch the world
burn.
As
someone who likes to laugh at politics, yes, I would very much be in favor of Donald Trump winning.
Everyone thinks
he's an idiot, though.
Did you hear him talk to Bill O'Reilly?
Has he accomplished
Bill O'Reilly didn't
in his
even
life?
Buy
Listen,
his shit.
Being a good businessman does not translate to being a good governor.
He's not even that great a businessman. He's
like,
kind of
like he's not even that great a businessman.
He himself does all right, but like
He's always declaring bankruptcy.
He declared bankruptcy once.
I don't know. I feel like that's...
He's worth $8.9 billion, and he's an international brand.
$8.9 billion.
That you got to take those kinds of risks when you're a business.
He's totally a great businessman, but that doesn't translate to being a good governor, and it doesn't translate to popular appeal.
But you're saying that he's going to act like he does in the press, like he does behind the scenes. That can't be true.
He's acting like he is in the press. He's in front of the press, acting like a douche.
But he's always acted like that.
Exactly.
About he would have never accomplished what he has as a businessman if he acted like that.
He's also not trying to get voters. He's trying to get investors. It's very different.
No, he's trying to win the Republican primary.
Yeah, he's trying to win that primary.
Whatever. He's still trying to get voters.
That's what he does.
Yeah, but he's still trying to get voters. And people.
And he's got 9 people on staff in Iowa.
I'm telling you, if Willy Wonka changed his tune, he'd still be... people would still be like, oh, look, Willy Wonka's talking.
I think Republican voters are crazy enough to vote for Donald Trump and for him to win the primary.
That's exactly why.
I think that's a possibility, but I think if that happens, Hillary walks into the presidency.
No doubt.
So, that's fine. And that's exactly why, if Rand doesn't get it, I'm going to support someone like Donald Trump, because it's the, like, if you can't get the guy who's actually worth his salt, then I'm going
Hillary
for
would be much
the
worse than
worst
Donald Trump.
Possible person.
Hillary would be way worse.
No, they would both be bad. That's like saying arsenic and cyanide, which one's worse? It's like, no, they're both really bad.
I think everyone is really, really misunderstood. Like, he just cannot be the biggest buffoon on the planet and achieved what he's achieved in his life.
Yeah.
It's impossible. No. Like, he plays a part in the press. He always has. He's P.T. Barnum. He creates a stir. He creates a crowd. He gets people following along, and he's got people that are absolutely beloved. He is going to get so many people that love Donald Trump that have been lifelong Democrats are going to vote for him just because he's Trump.
No, he's not.
My dad is a lifelong Republican, and my brother follows in lockstep behind him. My dad has read, like, 3 books in his life, Charlotte's Web, Pat Riley's book, the former Knicks head coach, and Donald Trump's first book.
The Art of the Deal.
The Art of the Deal.
That is every Gordon Gekko 1980s fan of the movie Wall Street. Yeah. That is their number one book.
And I'll tell you, like, my dad and brother are like, I don't know, this guy's scratching me where I itch. And so you're going to get blue-collar workers.
But that's exactly what they said about Herman Cain.
But you're going to get blue-collar workers, and my dad owns his own business, but... I think you'll see a lot of small businessmen like my dad, not necessarily blue-collar workers, you know, the people who employ 70% of the people in this country, going, Donald Trump, he's scratching me where I itch, because there is it's psychology. everybody, every small business owner thinks that they can be Donald Trump.
He's the aspiration for so many people. And he did it without, I mean, he is a great American story because he failed. And people love failures that come back.
No, you guys, I totally understand that.
And he's going to split off all Jeb's votes.
You guys are giving the guy way too much credit.
I think everyone's...
You're giving the Republican primary base, you're giving the Republican base way too much credit.
Newt Gingrich won a state with one staffer.
I didn't give them credit. I said they're dumb enough to vote
They all say this and that. But when it comes down to it, they like to talk, but they don't ever follow through with actually do... Like that's why I'm saying, like, people like Herman Cain were number one polls and amongst Republican voters, likely Republican voters.
He was the leader.
If we're being honest, you get down to the nitty-gritty. In the end, I think it's going to be Walker, it's going to be Jeb Bush, and it's going to be Rand Paul, but Rand Paul is going to be your distant third.
I think so, too. Maybe Rick Perry.
I think Rick Perry's going to crush the debates.
I think he's a commander. People don't like the Bush name,
but they like the Bush brand. They like that George Bush brand. And Rick Perry is George Bush version 2.0.
I think he's got enough of an organization the governors are always dangerous to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think he's got enough of
because they got at least one state.
Well,
my grandma, she is 77, 78, lives in St. Augustine, Florida. If you ever go down to St. Augustine, hit up the marina by the Bridge of Lions, go to the scenic cruise,
go to the ticket counter.
Isn't that where the oldest building in America is?
It is. The oldest schoolhouse. St. Augustine is beautiful, but if you make it down there, go to the marina, go to the scenic cruise, and talk to the gentleman behind the counter named Larry and say hi and tell him that his grandson says hello.
Is this a commercial?
They have. They have.
Brought to you by the Florida Tourism Board.
The scenic beauty of pure Florida.
You can't go wrong as the sun sets over the Matanzas Bay as you're cruising along on a scenic cruise.
Stay away from Miami.
Castillo San Marcos, headed over to the White House.
All of Florida.
and the rest of Florida.
But my.
Just everything inland and most of the coast.
What were you saying?
I'm trying to get a point out. Shut up, yous.
Oh, are you? Is that what this is about?
Yeah.
So, my grandmother still has hundreds of photos of George Bush around her house. Oh, he sent us this for Christmas, and it's autographed. You know, and it's like...
He sent it to her.
Oh, Grandma.
He put it in an envelope himself.
The RNC made that photo and sent it to you as a thank you because you sent them $200 last year. It's not actually an autograph. Well, I'm voting for Jeb Bush. I lived in the state when he was governor, and he was very good. I was like, so what did he do? She's like, he carried on the Bush legacy. I'm like, okay.
That's why Hillary's going to destroy him.
The problem with... And you know what's funny is the only reason I believe in Rick Perry as being a true establishment pick other than Bush is he has the foreign policy chops because that's what he's been prepping for the last 2 years trying to remake his brand. And when that debate gets on stage, Donald Trump's going to talk about China, even though we're not at war with China. And
question anyone on Mexico.
Rick Perry has been dealing with the border crisis. He's got his state over his tenure has created, 80% of the jobs in the United States?
Yep.
He had the last time with the debates, honestly, he should never have, what happened was he had back surgery and was high on pain medication and sucked in every debate.
Yeah.
And if he had never had that back surgery, he would have beat Mitt Romney, and he would have been the candidate.
He's actually strikes me as a serious candidate.
He is. I don't
know. So does Scott Walker, and so does Jeb Bush.
Yeah. Scott Walker.
Jeb Bush for the worst reasons. Scott Walker.
Jeb Bush for all the worst reasons. Yeah. Scott Walker is kind of scary.
But so Scott Walker. Scott Walker. Scott Walker's good. And the thing is Scott Walker's so bad on foreign policy.
He is. He's
the
worst.
He said he took on 100,000 protesters in the state. The state public employees union, and that is his qualification of standing up against.
But people are just going to look back at how he stepped down or stepped up and destroyed the unions. And,
it's basically Canada.
But you guys don't like Chris Christie at all? Because to me, that guy is a guy who does well in debates, and he'll do anything to win.
I just don't think
He's a great New Jersey Republican, but people hate assholes.
Yeah, man.
And after
they hate assholes.
You say that, but
no, they do. That's just New Jersey politics. When it comes down to, they love assholes. And everyone else, they hate assholes.
Like, that's always been my complaint with Chris Christie, but I feel like he'll always do whatever it takes to win.
The problem
is, I think that'll help him out.
Nick?
People don't like the Jersey Shore.
Like, the problem with Christie is, if you remember the last election with Romney, is Hurricane Sandy hit.
Yes.
When Hurricane Sandy hit, President Obama was welcomed in with open arms, and Chris Christie looked as like he couldn't wait for him to be there. They did a bunch of photo shoots together, and it pissed off the RNC like none other.
Yeah.
Because that, they felt like, was a stab in the back by a guy they had been positioning to win in 26, you know, the next time. And so when he did that, he burned every bridge in the establishment, because he's the establishment pick and has been the establishment pick until he did that.
And he just, and again, I think the most dangerous thing for his candidacy is that he is perceived as a dick.
I agree. He's a total asshole. No, he's a bully every time
that
I see him.
That really matters.
That same grandmother who idolizes Bush hates Chris Christie because he single-handedly lost the election and gave it to Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And that there's no... But that's your typical Republican voter. It's not grounded in rational thinking.
What's the idea
that
behind him? Just that photo?
Literally, in the Republican circles, that was seen as the biggest stab in the back ever.
Romney lost.
It's not about common sense.
It matters.
When you come down to these elections, it's never about common sense. It's all about that perception.
It's who has the best ground game.
Yeah. And if it's, I would contend that does not matter anymore. Or it's not that it doesn't matter, it's that used to be the only game in town.
The ground game.
And now you can win on ideas and great debate performances. Newt Gingrich would have never won a state, and neither would Herman Cain.
He's good in debates. He always knows. He has like a list of facts.
He's got so much negative money against him, he can't even, right now, he's... Yeah. He's 14th and only 10 are getting in. And what's he going to be, Jeb Bush light or Jeb Bush a little bit not Jeb Bush?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't vote
for that
guy.
I think that's what it comes down to. Like, when you look at anything in this election, I think every election money gets more and more important. And that's what's happening right now. I think you're looking at the implosion of the GOP.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Democrats are uniting around one candidate, essentially. They're putting other candidates up there, but no one expects anyone but Hillary to walk out of this primary.
And Bernie Sanders is not a real alternative for the Democratic Party. Because if anything happens with Hillary, Joe Biden will announce the next day.
Yeah.
He'll announce the next day. He'll be the leader in the polls.
And he will win the election.
This is the thing. You say the GOP is imploding. And that's great. I think the best for – this is for any typical Republicans who listen to our show. I know the audience is large. This is a good litmus test on whether or not the GOP is imploding and who are the serious candidates or not. It's like, go out there and look at who is saying anything about the anti-gay marriage. Anything that's anti-gay marriage is a presidential candidate right now who's anti-gay marriage. I guarantee you that is a person who's not going to do anything.
They're not serious.
And if the majority of the Republican Party is doing that, then the majority of the Republican Party is going to go the way of the dodo.
Yep.
So this, I mean, a lot of people would be like, "Oh no, this is not it's grassroots and Mike Huckabee and all this." I don't care. That is that single issue right now at this moment is a great litmus test to show who is going to court future voters that can skew GOP, or whether or not it will adapt or whether or not it will die. And to my knowledge, there's only one candidate that is on the right side of that issue, and doing it in a way that doesn't turn off base voters of the Republican Party who don't understand what I just said. But everyone else is a joke about it, and I think for the primary it might matter. For primary, you know, you could probably win the primary and be anti-gay marriage right now because everybody's in a hissy fit over it. But, like, the Republican Party in general, in relation to other parties, in relation to the general electorate, will die if they don't adapt on that issue. And there's only one candidate running for president that has adapted on it. So I think that's very telling.
I wouldn't say that's the biggest issue that they need to adapt on.
No,
but
just
I would
right
say
now,
that's a
like
good,
today.
Yeah, I would say that's a good litmus test because
like
I think that's – I don't know. I think it's telling the people that are willing to swing around to that libertarian side of the party. And I think more people are figuring that out. More people are figuring out that's the way of the GOP of the future. Is they're going to have to swing around to more libertarian parties.
I think we're about 8 years away from that being something that could actually hinder the Republican candidate. Because I personally believe that this election is going to be two candidates who both do not believe in gay marriage. White working class males do not support gay marriage at all. And millennials don't vote. African Americans do
but
not
white working
support
class, white working class
and,
man
and
white
Mexicans
working class
do not,
yes.
Hispanics do not
no,
support
Hispanics
gay
don't,
marriage.
No, so Hispanics
neither do African
don't at all.
Americans, neither do white working class males.
No, but look, but this is the thing. You can't assume that that's the primary issue
yeah.
for a lot of people.
No, but
I'm not saying that's going to be the reason
my dad,
people don't vote for Republicans. I'm saying that's the litmus test as far as
my
people,
dad does not support
not going
gay marriage.
To look for this moderate GOP to vote for.
I'm saying people are going to vote for the candidate that says they do not believe in gay marriage.
I disagree completely. I think that you're putting that issue at such a high level for people, and I think the people who think it's a big issue are the ones that are talking the most right now. But by and large, most people, they have an opinion on it, but it's not their issue. My dad does not like gay marriage. He will not vote for a candidate that is terrible just because they support gay marriage. He will not vote for a candidate because they don't support or they, because they do support gay marriage.
So if you put Hillary Clinton up against, let's say, Mike Huckabee, let's say those end up being the two, just theoretical, and your dad is looking at it and he says, all right, I can support Hillary, who I know
no,
what
he'll
I get.
Vote, he'll vote for Mike Huckabee at the end of the day because he's Republican. But but it won't be because he's for gay marriage. It'll be because he's not Hillary Clinton.
Right, but it makes the convincing case to actually even show up on voting day. Well, you know what? Because Hillary Clinton is not going to endorse gay marriage. Not in a million years.
She already has. She already has.
Wait till the debates.
No, she already has. That the Democrats are gone on that issue. That is the Democratic Party is pro gay marriage.
I think it's too late. I think it's too late for them to turn around. If Hillary did that, she would lose so much.
Watch till the general debates.
Because it doesn't matter whether or not general public, like for one, the general public is a plurality for gay marriage. Like, and that's just a plurality of America supports gay marriage. But like the gay vote is the base of the Democratic Party who are gay, the homosexual, whether they're male, female, transgender, all those are active minorities. They may not represent the totality of the base, but they're active in the base. They organize. They go to – look at what happens whenever somebody says something insensitive to gay people. They're a pariah. They are thrown out of society, and they're like almost
Quasimodo.
There was
a, but look, in northern Indiana, they raised $1.5 million by not wanting to serve homosexuals.
No, but that's Indiana. Like, listen.
I will give Greg this. This is the same Hillary we were talking about that – not long ago was sporting Confederate flags.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also the same Barack Obama that,
she is whoever
that was against
she needs
gay
to be.
Marriage.
Yeah. Clinton.
Yes, yeah. But Barack Obama was also against gay marriage until like 2 years ago.
And Hillary Clinton is just brave enough to endorse it.
I think it's all going to come down to what things are pulling at the time. I think Hillary Clinton could flip either way. I think she's going to flip of gay marriage.
I feel like
marriage went over better than I thought it would. The Supreme Court made that ruling, so...
Well, Hillary Clinton has the Pride section on her website, and this is from the New York Times yesterday, that she did not speak out on behalf of same-sex marriage until 2013, so she's already on record.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you... excuse me, guys. I'll tell you who deserves all the credit is Joe Biden.
He forced
the president's hand.
Yeah. And you know what he did before that?
Everyone thought it was a faux pas when Joe Biden
People
did
don't
that.
Know this. Anthony Kennedy was the second pick that year for Supreme Court Justice nomination. You know who the first was? Robert Bork. Robert Bork is the one who lost, and the reason Kennedy made it onto the Supreme Court. And Kennedy's the one who authored the decision, and Kennedy's the one who was the swing vote.
No,
if Joe Biden doesn't, and he was in charge of questioning him during his conference, if Joe Biden, instead of talking about his personal beliefs, doesn't talk about privacy and doesn't talk about his belief in what was his other controversial view? He had one
just
more controversial.
Crazy.
If I remember right, what actually lost it for Robert Bork was usually they don't ask you the question, why do you want to be a Supreme Court justice? And it, for many, it's it's the answer is always, I want to be with the greatest legislative minds and sit on there and have these great
just typical interview answer.
Yeah, it's my dream. And then not Robert Bork, because that would not be Robert Bork. Robert Bork instead replies, I think it'd be an intellectual feast, and that answer was like his 10-word answer that cost him the nomination to the Supreme Court. And the reason is because Joe Biden cornered him on it, and Anthony Kennedy ended up being the second pick. Otherwise, gay marriage would have been decided totally differently.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the gay marriage decision
think any of us do.
But like, I think...
I just feel like in our echo chamber, it's so easy to be like, gay marriage. Easy to be libertarian,
and then you meet
the regular voter.
Because I'm not like that. I am not like that. I am
one at a time, everybody.
Listen, I am not like that. I do support the right of homosexuals to do whatever they want. I don't care. You want to do whatever you want. I mean, I'm not gay. People want to be gay. I'm fine with that. I'm a libertarian in that regard.
Please check her Instagram and make your decisions.
Yes.
Take a look at his outfit.
There ain't.
See if you believe there, he's gay or not.
There ain't nothing gay about American flag tank tops, all right? Anyway, my point is that I, like, this is the same thing every libertarian's heard a million times. I support gay marriage. I support all this stuff. They want to do, like, it's just live and let live. I understand that. But it's not like I'm out there, like, it's not my issue. I'm not out there, I'm not like, oh yeah, gay marriage. Like, yeah, I didn't change my profile picture with a filter. Like, I'm not all for this, but it's like.
So you hate gays?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, I think.
But like, it comes down to,
look at,
like,
his shirt.
Yeah, but it's like, but the thing is like, I think that me, personally, I think that that is kind of a typical attitude on the part of most Americans. I think it's a typical attitude to be like,
I
you
just
know
really don't
what,
give a shit.
It's like, it's almost like I don't care. Like, it's not like, like when I remember the other day when or a month or so ago, whenever what's his face from Apple came out and said I'm gay, and there was like all these news stories. Yeah, and there's all these news stories about it. And I just remember being like, I don't care.
I hope he keeps putting out a,
like,
good product.
I don't.
Why
don't
aren't
care.
We? Yeah. Why aren't we at a place where it's not like, it's just not news to me if somebody comes out like
be.
A celebrity? I remember thinking this 2 years ago. A celebrity came out and it was like,
So what?
Yeah,
like, and but cares? I think, but
you're
I think, but I think,
telling me that Ian McKellen is gay, yeah. I'm so shocked.
but like people like Republicans, obviously they are vocal and they do care. But like, I think most people in America, most voters, most independent leaning voters of either side, they just don't care. Like, if you're gay, you're gay. They don't give a crap. In the gay marriage thing, they're like, yeah, whatever. You know, you get married. Who cares? Like, that, I think that's their mentality. We hear the Republicans who are like, God's going to burn down America. Or we hear the gay vote because they're the ones that are organized. But I think, so that's why I think it's a litmus test, is because that's where I think generally everybody's at, is that it's just at a point where it's just like, you almost like, you're just like that asshole at the party who won't shut up.
The percentage
if you're,
of people,
either way, if you're just vocal about it. Like,
the percentage
like no
of people
cares.
That are vocal against gay marriage is so small at this point. Like, the majority of people either just don't care or they're vocal for
Yeah,
gay marriage.
And it's like, and this is the thing. Like, I think generally, like, my perception right now of the gay marriage debate is like, good. All right, good. You guys, it's gay
you
marriage.
You were hoping it was done.
If there's
going
to be marriage benefits, then they should be equally applied to
it's like,
everybody.
It's all right, it's good. Gay marriage got passed. It's good. We're all good with that. It's like, right now, what's irking me with the gay movement is there's a lot of people who are a part of the gay political base that are kind of being assholes about it. Like, they're trying to, you know, like the people who will throw you out of society. Like, they will organize movements against you if you just don't like gay people. Like,
excommunication by the gay pope.
But there's people out there who, like, don't get me wrong. I personally think that if you are a Christian, then there's nothing wrong with being okay with someone being gay, because it's not your position to judge anyone who is a sinner.
Have you ever seen the actual pope? I mean, diamond slippers, come on. He's already
who drives a bubble? Who drives a bubble?
It's energy efficient.
And that hat.
Yeah.
That hat's dank.
How many other than Hugh Hefner, how many straight men do you
Jeff
see in a row?
You can't melt that hat.
Exactly.
But I already lost my train of thought. But like,
you've been talking for like 10 minutes
because
straight.
Because
it's okay.
You guys all stop me. Yeah, whatever. It'll come back to me.
So we got into there's an establishment top tier. I think we all agree that Jeb Bush is top tier. We all agree Scott Walker's top tier.
Yeah.
I believe Rand Paul is going to be top tier purely as a distinct choice.
I think he finishes top three.
I think the reason, and this is something I didn't get to say earlier, but let's all be clear. The reason Rand Paul's a top tier is not because he's the most conservative candidate in the traditional sense of the word, because I think all libertarians agree. Oh, I say that lightly. That he is the most libertarian in the sense of like libertarian conservative. Like he's
as
the most,
far as people
he,
who
he's the most
win.
Ron Paul style libertarian
well,
candidate.
Let's be honest, Gary Johnson's the superior candidate.
Yeah, come on, come on.
So like
Republicans.
So
Gary Johnson.
I think it's clear in that regard as to that he. But my thing is that he's not going to win because of that, or he's not going to be a contender because of that. He's going to be a contender because he has spent the better part of the past, you know, at that point it'll be 6 years. building bridges with communities that do not vote Republican.
Look at Mitch McConnell.
This is the thing a lot of people don't realize is you do not have to win a minority group to destroy Democrats. You don't have to win it. No. You just have to get some of it. Yeah. If you get a little bit of black vote, a little bit of the young women vote, if you get a little bit of the Hispanic vote, just a little bit, then you wipe the floor
perfect
with the Democrats.
Perfect example is Bush won because he got 10% of the Hispanic vote, and Romney, if he holds that 10%, wins the election, but instead he only gets 5%.
Yeah. The Republicans are banking on old white dudes to win. Rand Paul has made an effort to reach out to other people, and if any of those other people vote for him in a majority, in a percentage higher than like
3%, the problem is getting some of those people to vote in the primary.
No, they're not going to vote in the primary.
Register as Republicans.
That's the issue.
You don't have to register Republicans in some places. They're not going to, and I think that's why he's done a great job of threading that needle of getting those voters, while at the same time,
hands down, he's the best presidential candidate out of the Republican Party. But if he can actually get there is my worry. I think that people like Jeb Bush and Scott Walker can just so easily outspend him.
Jeb Bush has a war chest of $45 million.
The first marijuana raising president, right?
Yeah. No, that should have serious libertarian support, because to my knowledge, I don't know that. No, Gary did. Gary did. But I mean, even Gary ran as a Republican. But like, looking at this,
why didn't he stay Republican?
Why didn't Gary? Because he didn't make it in the second round of debates.
Could have been such a bright future, though.
It could have. He's rubbed a lot. He's seen as fringe.
Yeah.
But I mean, he changed New Mexico and made it in play for real as a Republican state. The problem is, though, if you look at it, you say, like, we all agree, Walker, Jeb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna throw Donald in there because we have not had somebody that has been unapologetically proudly American and antagonistic in a long time. Honestly.
I, as a fan of just, like, good television, I want Donald Trump to do well.
And, like, I mean, what did he say that is... He's never going to get a Democrat to vote for him.
I mean, he said that most of the illegals from Mexico were rapists and murderers.
He said, they're not sending me and you. They're sending their drug runners and their rapists.
Yeah.
Now, I assume they're... What killed him was his next line. He said, "I assume they have good people." When you have to assume that about an ethnicity, you're so far behind the right people.
I haven't actually met any.
That's the implication.
I haven't actually ran into
even
any
though he
good
works
Mexican.
With Univision.
These mythical good Mexicans.
Good Mexicans do exist somewhere.
I've met them. I like Joe and Aria very much.
They're
Cancun.
Hondurans?
Parallel
Mexicans. You've been to Cancun?
No.
Is that like Hispanic?
I haven't.
I was speaking in Donald Trump voice.
Yeah.
Parallel Mexican that's like
That's kind of
Hispanics
Mexican.
Who aren't Mexican?
Yeah. Okay. It's like they want to be Mexican, but the United States props up their pseudo state. Like Puerto Ricans. But no, like, so like, I honestly, today's world is, if you do three debates and you kick ass in all three debates, you can win elections without a ground game.
I feel like Donald Trump's going to get torn apart in debates.
Ron Paul. Single-handedly, 2008, lit a movement.
He did.
That has, just in the debates.
And now, I'm not saying you can carry it to the nomination, but I'm saying that you can get enough momentum.
Trump could definitely get the fundraising to carry it further.
That's the thing, is you can steal the support system that someone else already built by having the momentum. And that's what Newt would have done if he'd have done any better in Florida in 2008. But it's interesting. Like, it's just, I tell you, I'll be damned. I've never seen a Republican primary like this before in my life, where everyone thinks they can win. Because we're talking about Lindsey Graham.
I feel like that's kind of how.
Oh my God! I can't wait till Lindsey Graham goes on stage and gets and just debates.
Which is the real question: what's happening to the party when there's 16 entrances and last time there were 12? And traditionally, you have three.
Graham, there's 17.
I was expecting,
what does that mean?
Well, I was expecting this round of candidates to be better because there's not an incumbent.
They're all solid. Who really is a freak?
Donald Trump.
True. I'll give you that.
I think what it means is
and
the
I think,
implosion of
well,
the
Santorum,
GOP.
Yeah,
it's
so
he?
Fractured. Like, I think, Santorum, but Santorum won Iowa. Listen,
like the scene, it's like the scene in the Pirates of the Caribbean. I made that meme a long time ago.
Yep.
Well, since the GOP nominee is up for debate,
oh, everyone votes for themselves.
Yeah, it's like that's what's going on.
I don't think
just throwing their name.
We live in a time. We
need
live
someone
in a, we
willing
live
to vote for Keira Knightley.
America,
we need.
I'll vote for Keira Knightley right now.
America is in a transition period politically. We are in a transition period when it comes to major political parties.
Yeah.
I think the Democrat Party is safe, personally. I don't think the Democrat Party
that's
has
another point to make. Like, we act like these two parties have been around since the beginning, but they haven't.
No, they haven't. Well, the Democrat technically has, but yeah.
Yeah.
The Federalists, yeah.
Well, the Democratic
Republican
start out
as
is the
Federalists
Democratic
Party. Anti-Federalists.
Yeah. Like, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party is the one that's taken place of all the ones that have died.
Yeah, they took care of the
it
Whigs.
It was the
and
Federalists
the
and the Whigs, and then it's the Republicans. But my point is that I think we're in a transition period as far as major American politics. And I think that the Republican Party, this is something that I've said elsewhere, like, you know, and a lot of libertarians are going to hate me for saying this, but I think if the Republican Party dies, it's not replaced with the Libertarian Party. I think it's just like what happened after the Federalist Party died, and there is a one-party system in a true sense, in a literal definition of the word, and the Democratic Party is just going to wipe the floor with everybody, and it's just going to be nothing but Democrats.
I think that'll happen for a while, but eventually
eventually the Whigs popped up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No,
yeah.
I agree, but like my point
it's
is that
first two elections after a split.
I think a lot of libertarians are like the Republican Party is going to die, and then the libertarians will fill that power vacuum, and I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think the Democrats.
I'm
the Democrats
you right now,
are going
to be able to organize.
Yeah. I think
you've organized. You've
yeah.
heard cats.
I hate to say it, but I do think that he's right. I think the libertarians, by and large, I mean, if you look at the demise of the Whig Party, the Republicans were a smaller third party, but it kind of was.
It was all because of slavery.
And it was a very new party that just kind of popped up as they were.
They were a radical party.
Yeah,
the Free Soil Party. And
yeah, they were the big influence.
They didn't work, and then the Republican Party was like the next attempt, and it was like they were. But it was all about that issue, and we don't have a slavery issue. Like, there's nothing that is that big. In American politics,
I mean, is that huge of a
Patriot
war?
Patriot sort of stuff might get there.
No, it's not even close.
No, never.
The America is not going to go to war.
The majority
over
of America is willing
the Patriot
to just
Act.
Accept the Patriot Act.
Well,
yeah. America is not. You
we're
are not,
not
going
really
to have. No, you're
not
going to have
really
states
a country that goes to war so easily.
No, you're
anymore
not. You're
anyway.
Not going to have states that secede because of the Patriot Act.
I don't think you need that though.
No, I think that that is
like,
a,
need
no.
Something close
that
to
is
we're
that
a different country than we were back when people were leaving the country.
That is a metric for the level of intensity that people feel about something.
The core of slavery was that slavery was an economic issue, and that slavery was a key to the South's survival. And if the North succeeded in taking away slavery from the South, then the South was ceding all power to the North, and they weren't going to let that happen, and they didn't have a great moral outrage with keeping human beings in chains. And something like privacy is not a great moral issue. There is no great it's not a great economic issue. It's not something that hurts people in their pocketbooks. Not even gay marriage, which is probably the most passion-provoking thing, and that is really because Christian conservatives and they're largely in, they're marginalizing themselves, as I said dozens of times. The gay issue has killed the evangelical church, and it has killed the Republican Party. And I'm not saying that it is wrong that people who believe what they believe what they believe, because we in America should be allowed to have our beliefs and be free of conscience. But by focusing on that issue as a Christian church, and instead of, you know, I don't know, killing brown people across the other side of
the
world,
or
sex slavery, or any of that kind of
someone.
Stuff.
Literally can literally push a button and say, kill this American because I said so. And America's like, good for him.
So there isn't any great economic issue.
I don't think they said good for him.
Who have you been listening to? Like, I don't know who you've been listening to, but I know plenty of people that were like, good for him. He needs to be able to
Are you going
to
argue with a man in an American flag bandana?
I'm in an American flag tank top, and I don't think the president should kill people.
Green's
this podcast is edgy.
I didn't ever think I would argue with a man in an American tank top, but I think I am right now.
What you going to do? Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Two different wrestlers. Jack Hunter, that was two different wrestlers, and I know it.
that could get to that point, and I think we're going to see it here pretty soon, is rulings like the one on gay marriage and rulings like the one on the healthcare.
I'm doing curls.
We're going to see a legitimate uprising of a state's rights at almost a tenth Amendment Court of Appeals.
I don't think you're going to have that with gay marriage. It's going to happen with marijuana.
No, I think you're going to have it with everything. I think states are so tired.
The federal government will cave on marijuana, I think.
But individual governors and states, like if you look at the response by attorney generals all across the country and states that don't want to do gay marriage, there's going to be a legitimate states' rights issue that's going to pop up. And the only response states have is to set up a credible group that can issue legal rulings that are a true alternative of bright minds in the antithesis of the federal government. That doesn't mean anything because of the Supremacy Clause, so it's not going to lead to anything, but it's enough to get people angry.
Well, there's plenty of people that think the Supremacy Clause doesn't mean that the Supreme Court's
I don't see that.
But there's no institution that can act as a response to their rulings.
Thank God. They're supposed to fight with each other.
I agree with what Chris was
saying. If there was
another
institution, then it would just be a federal above the federal is all it would be.
I think it's got to be a real economic impact to really
drive this. I think
it's
got to
be something that hits people in their pocket. I don't think it's going to be marijuana because I think that's just like a cookie for the federal government to throw at the people eventually. I think they're just like, okay, guys, you can have this. You know,
even
like,
though
okay,
we
don't
took
care
it
anymore.
We're just going to decriminalize it and then that'll sedate you guys for another 40 years.
That's totally what's going to
happen.
Well,
what about like healthcare? That's an economic issue.
All these are the same issue.
Has been set up
but
to
people
implode.
Don't recognize it. That's the problem is people don't recognize these deep economic issues as being economic issues anymore. They see healthcare, they're like, oh, that's a right that everyone should have.
Yeah.
You know, people like that's all they don't see it as. Oh, no country that has socialized health care also has a balanced budget.
Oh yeah, or even can run a surplus
well,
ever.
Like,
exactly, ever. No well, one.
It
ever
is not possible.
They're
but
all
they don't
running
care.
Countries.
Yeah, and they don't care.
The state.
They're like, well, balanced budgets shouldn't come at the expense of people's lives.
Exactly.
Like,
it's just like,
no,
we have.
Concept.
How can you talk about dollars when these are my fields?
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's literally what it
jet
is.
Jet fuel can't melt these fields.
Yeah.
The dollar will have to implode.
Listen, guys.
That's the only option.
Before anything happens here, the dollar will literally have
look
to
at what's happening in Greece right now. That's how many times in your life
and even
have you,
Greece
how
is
many,
just going to cave to some more socialist bullshit.
No, that's it.
They're just going
to
print their own money.
No, they can't. What do they don't have any bank. They have
you
no. They have no central
happen.
Bank.
They have gold reserves.
You know what's going to
happen?
Have,
they don't have anything. Listen,
they have gold reserves.
This is
and
my,
they have
this
assets
I'm saying.
They can use
how
denominate.
Many people? How many libertarians? Because I know you guys are out there and you listen to this podcast that spend all your time on Facebook and you read about stuff from Mises.org. How many times have you been told that something like a bank run? But it's just not going to happen nowadays. It's a relic.
It happened.
It happened.
Because they're going to leave the euro.
It literally just happened the other day. Like we are just like history repeats itself. This is stuff that's supposed to not happen anymore in our modern economic setup, and it happened.
Yeah,
and if you don't think that can happen here in this country, then it totally you're
but the
hear.
Question is does
it,
well, the,
it can't hear in the next like 5 years?
Does the average
but
American
at the
voter
rate that
pick
we're
up
going,
on that?
No.
Does the average American
no.
voter
oh, God,
will never
in the United
pick
States
up on
if what was
no,
happening
God, no.
in Greece
the,
was happening
the modern,
here.
The modern American voter
we could do it
understand.
England
that's
did
our
in the 1980s.
That's
and
our biggest handicap is the average American voter is never going to understand any of
that's
that.
That's the problem
and
of democracy
if,
in general.
Even
is that
if we did.
No, I swear to God.
Even if we did
no,
have
no.
It's
no, rational
right.
ignorance. It's called rational ignorance.
Even if
they
we did
have any incentive to learn it.
Even if we did have a bank run, we would probably still lean on the side of socialism at the end of the day.
And we wouldn't need to. We have FDIC insurance.
Yeah.
And so unless it's the elite, everybody's going to be made whole. We have our own central bank, so we
that
could do what England did.
That's only good if people are buying your debt.
But in England... Nuh-uh. The Federal Reserve's the biggest holder of our debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like,
and they could cancel it at any time.
They could, but they're not going to.
But I'm saying
and,
they could.
And,
like,
China, and if China's buying our debt, and
they
the dollar
quote
is
quote unquote, they could.
I mean,
don't
you got you there.
If the Federal Reserve's existence was ever really threatened, they would cancel the debt. It's like the EU. The EU.
I don't know if the Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve has no exit strategy. Yeah.
The worst case,
for
they
right
do
now,
what like
so.
The IMF's proposing, and you do a 20-year. Delay in repayment.
Well,
you can always restructure debt. Like that's the thing. If you have your own currency, you can do whatever
the
you please.
The problem with the Federal Reserve isn't just who's going to buy the debt and who's going to sell the debt to. The problem is they have no exit strategy with what to do with interest rates.
But England was in the exact same position we were in the 1980s, and George Soros, the only reason he's a billionaire is because overnight he broke the English pound. By
yeah, he's
it.
Short-sold it. Yeah, I know.
So literally, all that
That just also means that the dollar exists when you control your own currency
to remunerate overnight. The dollar is crashing.
No, it hasn't crashed yet.
In comparison to the other currencies in the world, no. In comparison to its internal value, yes.
Yeah, since 1913 it's been doing that. Exactly. But that doesn't make a jack squat for our modern, way things are set up
right now. So China's been hoarding gold reserves, and they're about to take number two status in the world as the number of gold currency reserves.
And Russia is going to partner and create a euro. All these other, I understand. I totally get that.
And so when the dollar is not the number one world reserve currency, then you have a legitimate challenger to
exactly. And the Fed has no exit strategy.
Sure they do.
No, they don't. There's nothing they can do in order to raise interest. If they raise interest rates, then they're going to pull us out of this quasi recovery that we have. And if they don't raise interest rates, then they threat hyperinflation, or they threat some inflation, which is going to piss people off, and they don't want to have to deal with that either, because they went through the 1970s. They literally are at an impasse where they have to decide, do I want 1970 again, or do I want Great Depression?
People don't even remember the 70s. The choice is, if you look at Greece. No. Look at Greece. Greece is going to reject.
I don't remember the 70s.
People are going to reject the repayment terms by the
Greece, you don't remember 70 minutes ago.
But they're
going
to have a referendum, and they're going to reject
it. They're probably going to reject it. And the thing is like,
they're going to reintroduce the drachma.
No, what Greece is banking on is that Germany and other EU countries are just going to feel sorry for them enough to just give them free money.
Yeah, but
and
then
not
have
to pay for it. And it's not going to happen. And Greece is going to have to leave the European Union.
And they're going
to
be backed by the
Russians.
And
for the remainder of the European Union, everyone's going to be like, this is not as legitimate as a state political organization as we thought.
No.
And it's going to completely... It's going to be the seed of doubt into the European Union that will fester for decades.
Euro?
Yeah, but they got to keep their own currency outside of it.
There's only 75%.
The pound.
Like 75% actually use the euro.
It makes no sense to just all bet your everything on the euro, because then you're outside of control. You get in the situation Greece is in. If Greece had their own currency, they'd be able to inflate out over a period of time, bet on economic growth, raise money through outside funds, then do a debt haircut where they wouldn't pay back part of it but keep inflating, and in time they'd have a balanced economy. But because they don't control their own currency, they're going to leave, have to bet on Russia and China, because ultimately China funds Russia. Russia uses those funds, extends it to the Greeks. They'll reintroduce the drachma. They'll use their assets they do have to set up a central bank. And all of a sudden, Russia has a key player in the middle of the EU, which is what no one wants.
And this is the real important thing. No one who votes understands a word of what we just said.
No.
Some do.
That's
Some
the
do.
Problem.
The people.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah. So... Either way.
The percentage of people that understand what is going on is inconsequential.
It is, but the key is, though, like, so they understand populism, which is why Greece is going to reject
the
terms of the bailout.
Who can I have a beer with? That's what our voters respond
Maverick.
To.
Maverick. John McCain.
I never said that.
And going rogue. No, but I mean, that's the circumstances. And so, if you look at the United States, we would never have the problem Greece does. Would never happen. Because at worst case, we could manage 10% inflation. If you compound 10% inflation in the U.S. economy over 10 years, our budget, we run a surplus.
Yeah. The thing is we've had way over 10% inflation before, and that was never supposed to happen.
I mean, 10% measured by this federal government. Their metrics.
What, they use what? The CPI?
They use CPI, and then they use core, and then headline inflation.
Yeah, but the thing is like, we've had way over 10% inflation in those metrics before, and it was never supposed to happen.
By their old standard. On their new standard, we haven't even had inflation in 4 years. Core and headline inflation are actually, we're in deflation.
Yeah, and that isn't...
You just blew his mind.
No,
but I mean, like, if you
thank God he had that bandana to keep it all together.
No. There's no way we're in deflation.
No, there's no...
Literally, if you...
There's more product than there was yesterday.
But look, so you're missing what is measured. So, like, what gets measured is food. We've had such productivity gains in food, farming, technology. That
gains.
No, that's why people who say the people who follow like Austrian economics are like, you can't use like the CPI because it relies on like you're trying to measure prices as something other than the value of a currency.
You are, but like for the government's purposes, that's what they raise debt off of.
No, I understand that. My point is that you know, by metrics, by the value of a currency as it was measured before and as it was measured during, you had a significant amount of inflation in the 1970s. That was not supposed to happen, particularly with high unemployment. That's something that wasn't supposed to happen as far as everybody was concerned, and it happened. So to just say that it can't happen in America is just kind of like, you know,
well,
you're just assuming. You, like, you're just,
I'm saying
like
bankrupt Greek exit.
Yeah, he's saying that's not going to happen.
No, we're because
we can have
and
we'll bet on inflation.
Yeah, we'll never have bankruptcy in the pure sense of the word, because if worse comes to worse, then the government's just going
to
print the money. But that's the thing. It's like printing money is not a safe out. It's just kicking the can, and eventually, you know, there's nowhere left to kick it to. And right now, I don't think we're close to that. I think that's like decades before we get to the point where you can't
kick
the can anymore.
Does there ever come a point to where America can't kick the can anymore?
Yes.
Though?
No, because we can always revalue our currency.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you can't just
you
revalue.
Can always,
that
Britain did.
No.
They literally did.
You can't just revalue a currency because it assumes that a currency is made by dictate. It literally has to have value in a market. You can do all you want, shenanigans.
Not when your central
bank
is the market.
No. If you legal-wise, you can do all you want. Your central bank can be the head bank in the country, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, Rome was a country. It was the most powerful country in the world, and its economy still tanked. That analogy matters as far as modern economics
the
go.
The difference,
because
though,
you can print all the money you want, but eventually there's no you're not as powerful as you thought you were.
But that's 1,800 years away.
And, yeah, the difference
that's
between
not,
us
that's
and Rome,
not 1,800
is
years
that
away.
Now people,
if Rome
now,
was nowadays, not
now
nowadays.
People view it as a world economy. No one was worried about Rome failing as an economy back in the day. No one was worried about if we failed economically today.
China dies.
There are many countries that would be worried about that, and they're willing to back us up, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to make us succeed.
Because China
is
betting on their political stability based on the drive for an American consumer to build out an industrial revolution so they can get middle class jobs.
I think you guys
that's what will keep us afloat.
I think you guys are putting too much. You're not putting enough faith in chaos. I don't think you got. No, I swear.
How many times has chaos actually happened?
I swear to God, I think you guys are putting
the world.
You guys are putting too much emphasis on.
We're
things
all born
that we,
of chaos.
Like,
the British Empire existed for 2,000 years. They failed, collapsed, and they're still the second most influential country in the world.
Everything
and they're a little bitty island.
Listen, we're talking about. We're trying to predict the future. We're trying to predict.
And they're the second most powerful country in the world.
We're trying to predict the future, is what's going on right here. And
I have such a heart. Like, libertarians are such, like. Oh my God! Collapse is right around. I mean, Ron Paul's doing the Stratford Financial commercials.
I don't think it's right around the corner. But
it's been right around the corner. If you assume that the rules aren't rigged, and the rules are rigged,
they are. It's totally rigged. We're not working in a perfectly. There is no such thing as free market capitalism in the world
because we've
all
got
the central banks are gone.
We've got to violate the free market to save the free market.
They have literally destroyed the free market. And they've rebuilt a world.
The biggest
market.
Free market president since Ronald Reagan, in the midst of a crisis, had to save it from itself.
No,
and that will always happen. There will always be a green stand.
I understand
always,
that
because the elite will never allow it to crumble.
Implies,
they have vested interest.
That implies that free markets don't. Aren't stronger than that. Like, it implies that the market is not stronger than those people trying to control
it. No, I'm saying they'll adapt to it. They will adapt to whatever the free market's going.
If everyone is united against the free market, they're going to make whatever they need to make happen.
They're going to introduce the FDIC insurance. They're going to introduce the end of the gold standard. They're going to introduce Social Security. They're going to introduce the New Deal and put people back to work.
The free market can't overcome a world completely controlled by
the monopoly of force.
This is the thing. I'm not talking about like will the free market be a free market. I'm talking about like markets in the sense of like how the economic laws
work.
I'm
saying it can't act in the same way.
The economic laws exist regardless of what people do to them to try and null them in some ways and promote them in others, which is what government tries to do. It tries to promote things that it likes and stop things that it doesn't like. It never works. It can't work. It's literally impossible. But they try to. Now, the thing is those laws are independent of government policy. What we're trying to say is that government policy will check those laws. That's exactly what Alan Greenspan said. It's exactly what every government in the history of governments has said, is that we can stop economic law from existing. This is the new normal. And it never happens.
But there's
it never, ever happens.
There's a gray area in between that. There's this area of they can't stop it. You're correct. It's always the market's always going to swing away from what they want it to do, but it's never going to swing out of their grasp.
And when it gets out of control,
never,
like the crisis of 2007,
they're always
going
to be able to
rein
it back in. They're always going to lasso it and bring it back into where they had
guess
it.
Guess what? We'll have the Federal Reserve act outside the bounds of its charter, and we'll buy so much mortgage debt, and we'll buy so many bonds from the United States government, they're not going to have an issue with
that.
Yeah,
so you'll have these times where you're right on the cusp of it happening. You're right on the cusp of having that chaos that we really need to happen, honestly.
That's the correction that never
happens.
Yeah, it
really needs
fueling.
To happen. But there's so many people united against it right now that they're never going to let it happen.
They won't let the economic reality infringe on the human pain.
I think the premise of that is that they have the ability to do that. And they have the ability to do it in the short run, transient way. But it's not a lasting solution. But
it could be 2,000 years.
I don't think it might as well not happen. I don't think, because it doesn't take 4 years to get goods past the Silk Road anymore. It's like everything's instant. You can get stuff. You can buy a stock in a millionth of billionth of a second. Everything is faster nowadays. I think it's in our lifetimes.
But the economic principles are the same.
Yeah, but everything moves faster.
The only thing that really provides value are the goods.
The flow of information is so much faster than it was back in the old days.
But that really all that does that is add
all,
efficiency.
That's all a market is. All prices are information indicators.
Right, but I'm saying like that doesn't stop.
But everyone still acts on that false premise. Everyone that matters in the market is still acting on that false. Everyone that matters in that market is still acting on the premise that the Fed is eventually going to raise interest rates. Like, that's what it comes down
yes,
to.
Yes, and everyone in 2007 was banking on the mortgages Japan. Would never go down.
People have been betting on Japan devaluing their currency and then doing a renomination like for 80 years, and it's called the Widowmaker bet. And it's never happened, and it's why so many people have mortgages in the United States based in the UN, because it's never happened and it won't ever happen. Japan's central bank has proven you can carry 200% debt to GDP and keep functioning on as a zombie economy.
Yep.
You want to keep going down that road, that's what the United States is going to do. The question is, does the bubble ever pop? I'm saying when it even gets close, government will do something so radical that changes the set of the game.
I don't think they'll see it coming. They didn't see 2007 coming.
The government
didn't see it coming. Some economists saw it coming.
But they saved it.
They didn't. They kicked the can down the road. What you're saying is they're going to keep kicking down the can down the road. And I'm going to say there's going to be a point where there's a wall.
What I'm saying is they'll always be able to take extreme enough of a reaction to whatever happens that they'll be able to rein it back.
What you're saying then?
They have so much.
What you're saying
then
is that there's no reason for them. You're saying that a free market literally has no incentive to exist. That there is no reason for there to be a free market because people can always control it and it can always be made to do what people want.
Can you
because
name there's no free market?
There's no. I'm saying that supporting a free market principle has no, there's no reason to do it if you are accepting the premise that people can control the market. Because what you're saying is that people can control the market. That's what you're saying is people can control it and then it will crash and they'll save it because they'll do something to stop the crash.
No. Controlling the market. Well, you are controlling the market and reining it in are two different things. You can never control the market. You can never make the market do what you want it to do.
You're kind of implying that people can rein it in forever, though.
Yeah. That's control.
I think they can.
That's the course of human history.
That's not the course of human history. If that was the case, we would be on the moon by now.
We use the same banking system the Freemasons set up.
Yeah, if we were doing that forever, there would never have been a dark.
Because there's a better alternative.
Why are any of us libertarians?
There's a better alternative to that. There's a better alternative to just putting a Band-Aid on the economy and reining it back in. The better alternative is letting the economy fix itself and then going into prosperity.
You're saying you're saying that the Band-Aids can. You're saying that the Band-Aid, that the disease that you're putting a Band-Aid over, the cancer you're putting a Band-Aid over, can never kill them. And I'm saying that eventually the cancer will kill you. And you guys are just saying no. We'll just put another Band-Aid.
I can because
they
I don't
can just put another Band-Aid on it.
We've never had a free market.
I'm saying the
so if we've never had a free market,
the cancer
and
is
they
the
set the terms.
I'm saying the cancer is the control, and you guys are saying the control may cause all these problems, but they will take that control to the next level and stop the problems from manifesting themselves.
No, because we've proven in the 1980s that
we'll
just
keep with the control again.
We've made the right corrections before.
Your premise relies upon the ability of planners to be able to control the market from doing what it's going to do.
Not control.
That's exactly what you're saying.
React
by controlling.
Yeah,
the response is to control.
You're implying that there's always something that can be done to stave off suffering. And if there's always something that can be done to stave off suffering, why not do that forever?
That's what they're doing.
The implication of that statement is that there is no that the incentive for there to be a market doesn't exist,
yeah,
period. That there is no check
like,
upon power.
If we
power.
Can stave like, it off forever,
the,
why do anything else?
I agree
no,
that there is no free
no,
market.
Listen, the implication of what you're saying is that there is no way that the market could ever be in a position to make them not.
That is
not
what I'm
to,
saying.
No, listen.
The people would have to make a decision.
No, I am agreeing
no,
with you. I'm saying
no,
the reality that exists
you're,
is
you're
there
saying,
isn't
you're contradicting yourself. You're saying that the market can cause all these bad things to happen, but the people in power will just stop the bad things from manifesting themselves. But that implies that the bad things shouldn't happen in the first place.
No, they're not manifesting themselves to the full potential, is what he's saying. What he's saying is they're stopping
Which means
them.
They're not manifesting themselves as they should, which means that the people
like,
who are
yeah,
in power
there's
power
a concentration
you guys are talking about.
But listen,
you guys
if they're
literally
a bunch of
taking,
to die
you're making
for no
the
reason.
Fatal conceit.
No,
you're making like, Hayek's fatal conceit.
I
that
am.
The that people have power over the economy that they think that they can control it, and that you're saying that they actually can.
If they really could control it, then we'd be prosperous. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. They can't really control it. All they can do is just kind of keep it in a corral.
It's like
all
bumper bowling.
Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
having bumpers that
exactly.
stop it from
that's
going into the gutter.
Yes. That's not...
Like, if we can stop it from going in the gutter
if you have
this
the concentration
way,
of power and the
way?
Concentration of gold in a free market economy, you control the economy.
Yeah. Well, like, you guys are...
And if you have the monopoly,
listen,
monopoly
you guys
of force
saying,
in anything,
you guys
always
are, just
are
trying,
in
you guys are just trying to...
I don't know.
You're trying to caveat your... You're trying to caveat the word control and say it means control in this limited definition. But it's still control. You're saying that people can do what they want to the economy, and when it goes bad, all they have to do is just change things up a little bit, and then it'll keep going, and then it'll go bad, and they'll change things up again. It's just like it's an adapting control, but it's control nonetheless.
They
and,
cause and it to go bad.
And it, yes, but
they are
saying,
never not in control.
But all you're saying is that the only reason they caused it to go bad is because they had the wrong idea. Because
they're stupid.
And then all they do is change their idea. And they so what you're saying is that everything is just people trying to figure
that's
out
Marx's
the right
dialectic.
Idea for how to control it.
Yes, that's the course
that's
of human
wrong.
History.
That's wrong.
That is the course
that,
of human history.
That premise that they have that there is a correct way to control it is the wrong premise.
I agree.
The premise is that there isn't an ability to control. Eventually, the chickens will have to come home to roost. They may not have happened yet, but it will have to happen. And if you don't think that, then what you're saying is that eventually there will never be a chickens come home to roost.
There won't.
It will always be people being able to control it.
Because
there's
a concentration of power in the hands of the elite who are in control. And
I
they don't let it
I don't
fall
believe
apart.
That the market is able to be controlled like that. And
well,
you guys
the
are
market's
basic,
never even been given a chance
key,
to exist.
The key player would,
I'm
like,
not talking
like Greg's
about,
mentioned
not,
multiple times, is force.
Yeah.
The key player is force. Is everyone that is in control of all the force in the world right now would have to lose all of that force,
yeah.
all at once, for the free market to work.
Yeah.
Yes, but we've also had global recessions. It doesn't like it, you're implying
a
that
global
what?
Recession is
you're,
further
what that the entire world can't see something coming and plan for it. Like they didn't plan for 2007. That happened to the whole world.
It's not they
what
don't see it coming.
What
it's
you're
they
talking
don't
about
want
is
to
a
stop.
Degree.
Yeah.
No,
it's that they don't care.
I understand what you guys are trying to say, and I disagree with it. You guys are trying to say that the market, the underlying market laws of supply and demand, do not have more authority over the actions of market individuals than the state. And I disagree with that. I think the market does. You guys are just saying they may get it wrong from time to time, but eventually they'll figure it out and everything
no, they
will be
don't
fine.
Ever figure
Can
it
I
out.
Just respond to that point real quick? You're saying we don't think the market has. They have the ability to control the original premise of the market. I don't think that market is ever even given the chance to exist.
No, but
the system is set up from square one.
I'm talking about
there's never
the
been
laws
a
of supply.
Fair market.
The laws of supply and demand exist independent of state policy. All they can do is try and manipulate those laws of supply and demand to their favor, and it will always never work because the laws of supply and demand are stronger. It's like price controls. They're not actually controlling the price. All they're doing is causing supply and demand to create a shortage or
a
surplus.
That's a theoretical. You're not talking about the people who are
it actually
in
happened
streets.
In the 70s.
I know,
it happened.
People who are pissed off in the streets don't care about that.
That's not irrelevant. This is
it's not irrelevant.
This is the only game in town. Everything else is just out.
Right now, we're making an academic argument to the
we
point
are.
Of
it's
whether or not.
It's not irrelevant because that's what you need for the upheaval of all the force
yes.
in the world.
But my point is that market forces do not require a revolution to. Come to
market
exist.
Forces, no, but government forces, yes.
And market forces operate on license.
Yes.
The government's
no,
licensing them
market
into existence.
Forces, if market forces required government to exist, if government was stronger than market forces, then there would literally be no selling of illegal drugs or illegal arms.
How about Silk Road?
What?
About Silk Road?
That is an example of a market force taking over a government power. You're saying that shouldn't exist.
Now it's closed.
Does the black market not exist?
Not like it used to.
There's failure. In a pure free market, there's examples that there would be failures.
I'm sure there's
Governments have
to
literally kept
millions
of slaves.
Yeah,
millions of slaves. Enough slaves that those said slaves could have rebelled
You guys are both making Hayek's fatal conceit. Is what you're doing.
No, I'm
yes,
not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm
That's
not.
That's exactly
I'm not,
what's happening
I'm not
right
making
now.
The I don't
mistake.
Think it was a fatal conceit, but
it is.
Making
it is a fatal conceit.
Only to Hayek.
No, I'm not. Only I'm not making the assumption that a government can actually control the economy for
yes,
anyone's benefit. No, I'm making. I'm saying
no,
that
no, not for benefit.
For its existence.
You're saying
exactly.
You're
for
saying
its existence.
You're saying that they can control the market.
They
you're
set
saying
the terms.
That they can. Because if they if the market can never check them, if the market can never actually
it checks them all the time, but
no,
they rent it
no,
back
no. If the mar- exactly. if the market can never if there is never in- listen if they're causing crashes and there's never an eventual
they cause
cra-
every crash.
Listen, if there's a, if they're causing crashes and there's never an eventual crash which they cannot fix, then they are always in control.
The difference
that's the fatal conceit that
yeah,
they can
yeah.
control it.
The difference between me and Hayek's fatal conceit is Hayek. Saw the fatal conceit of seeing like something that has to end eventually. I see the fatal conceit as something that never has to end. They'll just keep making that
which
fatal
is another way of saying
end,
that they're
why
always
even bother going
yes
through the
that's
pain.
Another way of saying that they're in control complete
status
control
quo. That's the whole reason why you maintain
why,
the status quo
like why are we fighting for anything like why are we
because we're fighting
for
incremental improvements
to be
the,
off?
What's the other option
because
quit?
Eventually
no, it sounds
eventually
like,
if everyone
it sounds
figures
like
it out
you,
yeah
like,
you're saying it literally is not possible
no
you're
no,
saying
it's
you're
not
saying
gonna be fine for us. It's always gonna be fine for the elite, the people that run nations.
You're all asking right, why I'm nihilistic.
Let's move on because I can't go into this any deeper because I'm getting sick of it. Let's move on. Let's just
like it kind of sounds
let's
like
move
there's
on.
The only
you
no
guys think there's always something that can be done to keep us at a relative like the same level
no,
of prosperity.
Our economy
no,
can
no, no,
take.
There's something
this,
to keep.
No.
There's always something that can be done that can stop social
that
upheaval.
That can keep the government
that can
in control,
stop what?
Basically.
Social upheaval and the status quo.
Yes.
See,
there's always something that can be done
but
to
if
keep
everything
laissez-faire
tanks, people are just going to go against the government.
They can stop it from tanking because ultimately,
well, if they can stop it,
if they can stop it from tanking,
they're
right. Always in control.
No, listen, you're saying
total
they're
control.
They're not always
well,
in total control. They have
like,
some
if
control.
If they can stop like, it from tanking,
you're
then
saying,
why
you're
are
saying,
we even bothered?
This is a
you're
tyranny of
the
binary,
the economy,
and this is obscene.
You're saying as soon
this
as
this is not a theoretical
tanks,
discussion. There isn't a single instance in human history when there's been a free market that performed well and the government hasn't been able to take control of it.
As soon as the economy tanks,
and that is just it.
You're saying as soon as the economy
tanks, it's like saying that gravity doesn't exist. Theoretically, it isn't possible.
You're saying as soon
that's
as the
actually
economy
not
tanks,
true. There's
then
actually there are examples
there
of
are.
There are examples of anarchist societies in human history.
They all died.
They all died. They did
all.
Then
they don't exist.
There's also governments that died.
Yes, no
and,
kidding.
But
then another
but
one replaced
replaced
it.
By governments. Yes, but they're replaced by governments. But the but
anarchist societies aren't replaced by anarchist societies.
You're talking
this,
about
that. But what we just said has no bearing on anything.
Have been successful in keeping millions of slaves. So millions of people that could easily, if they wanted to, turn around
and. You're also implying that people that they're doing it in a conscious sense. You like President Obama's like, thank God I have 300 million slaves for
no,
me.
No, not that, Obama, no, but in no. the past it has been very conscious.
No,
governments have consciously
yes,
kept
they have
millions
and,
of slaves.
And people nowadays look at democracy as an example of a non-slavery kind of government, but it still is a slavery kind of government
that
the
has
point,
even more control
listen,
because it has even my, more force. At
nevertheless,
its fingertips.
Nevertheless, my point is, and the point from the beginning of this whole entire digression has been that you guys are trying to say that the government will always be able to stop a market correction from actually being a pure market correction.
Yes.
Because they always have control over force.
But that implies that they are more powerful than market laws. That
yes.
It is built upon that premise.
They
if
don't
you
allow
believe
pure
that,
market laws
that
to
is
exist.
Literally the definition
the
of
one
the
who
fatal
controls
conceit.
The nukes.
That is the fatal
everything.
Conceit. Yes, because the market tanks, let's kill everybody. That's exactly what a government would do.
Hold on, though. We're talking about a guy who has a theory and wrote it in a book.
So if the
and
market
we're
tanks.
And I'm talking to a guy with a microphone who sells mortgages.
Yeah, but you're not mad at me. But
like that doesn't mean
you're
anything.
Wearing
so,
an American flag
so
on every part
tanks,
of your body.
If the market tanks and you are the holder member of one person of the top 99% of all of the world's wealth, and you control force. Are you going to let people have an upheaval against
that's
you?
That's the thing.
No, you're going to kill
listen,
them all,
listen,
and you're going to keep
that's,
control.
That's the point, is that a pure libertarian argument would be is like they can't do anything about it.
And they can.
And you're
so
saying that they can.
The problem is that
you're
yeah,
saying that they can. And I'm
they
saying
have,
that
have.
Eventually. At
it's happened over and over
and
again.
And I'm saying that eventually, logically, there has to be a point where they can't. And if there's not, then there's literally no reason to be a free market libertarian.
See, that's just why
it's
I'll
all
never
just
a, be a
it's,
complete
it's,
libertarian.
I'm not talking
I guess,
about being
like,
an anarchist. This is independent of anarchy. This
no,
is just
is.
A pure free market
Austrian economist.
Look
yeah.
at economics.
But that's
and if
what
that
I'm
is
saying.
Your
that's
opinion,
why...
then there is literally no reason to be a free market because all that is like everyone, the best benefit can never exist. There is never a general benefit.
No.
It's always a benefit of
Austrian
people
economics,
at the expense of others.
Austrian economics in a vacuum is the best system. Is the best system.
Without a doubt.
If we could get rid of every government in the world right now and institute Austrian economics
and voluntary society,
hands down, the best system we could possibly implement. All I'm saying is that as long as these governments are in control, it will never happen.
Yeah, and
you need you need
until Peter Thiel and Ron Paul are in control of the nuclear world.
The market,
codes, it's not
the market
happen.
Is right. not going to correct this. The market
what's,
is not
what's
one
the,
day
right.
going to magically
right.
create anarchy. All right, all right.
Brother,
we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this.
Final,
we need to move on to something
Do not
else.
Take it personal.
No, I don't take anything personally. I'm wearing an American flag shirt. All right,
do not let us hurt your feels.
I don't have any feels.
And they are the heaviest things we carry. All right, we have to start wrapping up because believe it or not, we're already an hour almost. We're going to be 2 hours.
What else was on the agenda to talk about?
I think we covered it.
You, if Rand Paul ever needs to filibuster again, I'm just saying that he ought
He's
to
gonna call Nick and I in and put us in the front row with my questions.
Is that what you're saying?
I think this group is giving Maya, Gina, and Creighton a run for their money.
Well,
no,
I just want to say I agree. I see what you're trying to say, Creighton.
So do
I
totally do too.
I don't know.
I'm a theoretical purist, just like
I've been down that road.
You guys are just bumming me out.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
Come to my side, Creighton.
Let's. Excuse me. If you can't tell why I haven't talked most of this podcast,
it's
I just
because Creighton's here. Greg's here too.
But thank God because
oh yeah,
that cough medicine did nothing for me. I've been in the other room half the time. Throwing up or coughing.
THC.
He has been leaving. Yeah.
Let's talk about Jurassic World.
all right. Everyone but Chris Pratt made terrible decisions off the route.
Yes.
But the dinosaur fights were pretty excellent.
They should have spent more time.
Why did that girl in heels go hunting down kids in the jungle?
Right. They should have given more screen time to the actual T-Rex because after that, like when the T-Rex finally does its thing, it's almost out of nowhere. Like, that was my biggest problem with that movie is, like...
You didn't see the T-Rex the whole movie.
Yeah, it was like the T-Rex had very little screen time for you to set up. Be like, oh, yes, there's a T-Rex that this lady can use.
And
Nick,
why are
and
they
it was
doing
supposed
canoes?
To be the same T-Rex from the
that
original
was a,
Jurassic
yeah,
Park.
There were raptors.
It was the same
there
exact
are raptor skirt.
That was
there's
a Snapchat I sent to Chris Gold.
That are from the raptor fight at the first movie. Well, what drove me crazy, people have, like, these canoes down this river
Chris
with
Gold.
All these herbivores.
Of all
like,
people.
Just because they don't eat... people doesn't
responded
mean they won't
with,
kill people.
Oh, that's mature.
They're dangerous animals.
They're fucking dinosaurs.
Like the hippopotamus. The hippopotamus kills a ton of people, but it doesn't
I think the
eat
hippopotamus
them.
Kills more people than sharks.
Yeah, and it doesn't eat them, though. The shark would eat people.
All right. Yeah, I snapped Chris Galt a photo of Creighton.
Oh, okay.
A video, too.
You didn't give me warning. I should have done like that.
Oh, you were in your full great.
You're
full Creighton
You've been
glory.
Doing that all night, Creighton.
You
He's
didn't
had opportunities.
All right, kids.
Why are we done?
Because we can
this
keep
going.
This
isn't a four-hour podcast
Why
anymore.
Not? This is the Goose's last podcast.
Well, he'll be around.
Well, it'll last for a little bit.
No, it's trust me. From
Maybe I'll start my own
from
podcast.
A guy with
yeah. phone
from
in
a guy
day.
With experience, this is your last podcast for a while. Trust me.
Yeah, this is Creighton's last one for a while too.
No, I live far away. It's not easy to do podcasts.
It isn't. I know.
Especially when you're on Central Time.
Oh God!
I actually have a friend that's trying to start a sports podcast.
That's not even closely related.
We don't have enough of those.
No,
we could use.
There aren't
one.
Enough sports podcasts.
Is it your,
what about
is
a
your
libertarian
that
sports
is it your friend,
podcast?
Is it your friend? What? Like, what are we going to talk about? Sports are so plebs.
They're so plebs. That's what they are.
If you want your friend to
sports are fleets.
If you want your friend to corner the podcast market,
Am I wrong?
Tell him to do an interview show with comedians. There's not enough of those.
No.
There's not
Is Joe Rogan in Oklahoma?
Right.
Are there enough movie review podcasts?
No.
We know of one.
Yeah.
I got one. We should make a podcast that's like Reddit for your ears.
Hey.
Thank you.
That could have been successful.
He was on that. You're talking to the co-founder.
You stole my joke. Thanks, Creighton.
You know what?
We
talked about Steam games that were cheap.
What? That sounds like Reddit. Sounds like Reddit already.
You buy digital games through this thing called Steam.
If you go to...
Cool.
You've never heard of Steam?
No, I'm not a gamer.
It's made by the people who made Half-Life.
I think this...
It's how they make all their money now because they don't make games
anymore.
Hey, man.
I've got half a beer.
It's Steam. Have you heard of Origin?
I gotta kill some time before I get
on.
That's
EA's
version of Steam.
I can keep going.
So it's live stream games?
It's just kind of... It started out as you would register your CD keys, and you could download the games anytime without the CD.
It's like, but then it's like the iTunes store for video games.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
it's like iTunes for video games.
And it's hosted in the cloud?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you have an account.
Yeah.
Don't say cool like you care.
No, I'm never going to game, but whatever.
Well, they do a lot of sales, so you can get like...
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's popular.
Like Assassin's Creed 1 is like $4. And you're like, cool, let me get
that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there'll be like...
And you have it forever?
Yeah. Like every
no wonder
summer,
Harry gets so excited
every
about it.
December, they have Steam sales, and they're just insane. They're like 75% off popular games.
Now I totally get it, because Harry talks about it all the time, and I just am like, whatever. You know, that's nice. And then now it makes total sense.
You can end up spending like $100 on 30 Steam games, and you only play 4 of them.
Yeah, but you still have them.
Yeah,
forever.
You have them forever.
You can't
as
beat
long
that.
As Steam's around.
Yeah,
forever. And it's pretty successful. It's gonna be around for a while. As
oh,
far
I would bet.
I can tell.
It's basically it's iTunes or Amazon Music or whatever.
Well, yeah, and like I said, you don't play most of the games you buy, so they're basically just asking people for money.
Have you ever designed a video game?
No, that's a lot of work.
You could design a wall video game and sell it on Steam.
A wall. Oh,
a deer leader conquering all of America like Alexander the Great, or all of the world
like
Alexander
it.
The Great.
It's like Risk.
Yeah,
but
it's Canadian and libertarian.
Conquering all of your
L'état d'esprit.
Conquering,
but yeah, that's the sort of thing you can publish your own games on Steam and
conquering
cool.
all of your
take
women.
Like 20% or 30%
generously.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's basically iTunes for video games, computer games.
I don't know. I wish people could have heard that joke, but Peffers was talking over me.
That's what I came here to do.
I
make
know,
sure
man.
No one could hear your
you
lame
didn't
jokes.
Smoke enough. You're very animated today. I don't like this Chris Peffers. You need to mellow out, bruh. Yeah, I like the Chris Peffers that...
Bust out your quad, bro.
What's going on in this podcast? It's out of control.
This podcast has never been under this, control.
Yeah, like, what did you expect? Like,
no.
Do you guys even do show
notes? I've never been here.
Do you guys still do show notes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
would be surprised at how...
You squares.
I've been to 3 shows recently. Only the first one had actual show notes.
Well, I just didn't share them with you.
It wasn't for me.
I didn't share them with you because I knew you wouldn't read them.
Yeah.
I only share them with people I think there's a small chance.
I read a Wikipedia article on Bernie Sanders' 2016 election.
You did.
And the Bernie Sanders himself
hey,
Wikipedia
hey, can
article.
We talk? Can we talk about...
To
the
his
real-
credit, he is asking me... like, what are the topics beforehand, which is growth.
Oh, no, I love it.
Hey,
I love it.
And Creighton...
Can we talk about the real important issue right now?
I will say, Creighton, that the last few episodes we've gotten it dialed in since we came back. We're doing this weekly. It's very under control. And then the second I saw you walk in that outfit, I knew there was no hope tonight.
It's the bandana that sells
but
I gotta say, like the tank top and shorts, I might expect it, but the bandana.
And the fact that it's 9:30 at night and you're still wearing the sunglasses.
Yeah. Hey,
indoors.
Inside.
Indoors.
Corey Hart, yo. Anyway, though, can we talk about the real issue, the real important topic
sure.
that we haven't
Game
talked about?
Game of Thrones kind of sucked this season.
Oh, don't even get me started. You can't talk about it because he hasn't seen all
no,
the season.
No, I haven't.
Well, the finale
no,
has no
shut
resolution.
Shut up.
None.
Well, there's not supposed to be.
There is. It's a finale. There's supposed to be some
season,
resolution.
It's the season finale.
Right. But
it's a cliffhanger.
At the end of the it wasn't even a cliffhanger.
It was totally a cliffhanger.
It was just another episode. There weren't any stories that got resolved.
Lena Headey's boobs, though, right?
Yeah. I just didn't need to spend 7 minutes watching that guy yell shame when it's the finale and nothing got resolved.
This is
that sounds like last week's podcast.
Anyway, this is the important thing. Star Wars comes out in December. Who all is going to go see it?
Probably I'll go see it.
What?
I haven't seen the original three since
he's off the podcast.
The 80s.
He's the podcast.
No, he's off of the podcast.
Okay, you can take
he
me
wasn't
off
the podcast
I'll
tonight.
I'll take all this stuff.
We
to my
he
place.
Is the great. He is the great. What are they? The minuet.
The puppeteer.
The puppeteer. He pulls all the strings.
Yeah.
Well,
he created the environment.
He's pulling
and then
his own strings in
the
wrong
first
way.
Domino.
I don't have.
He just has a soundboard and an SD card. That's his contribution.
Do you guys realize that a new Star Wars movie is coming out in December?
Dear Leader just lost his bodyguard,
and it doesn't have anything to do with the books. So I'm curious.
Me too.
I'm very curious.
I've never even seen the new three Star Wars movies.
Well, you don't have.
You don't have to. You kind of probably will have.
No,
to.
I bet they don't have much to do at all.
I bet they have
Awakens.
A little bit to do with like the history. History of like the Jedi or something.
No, I'm sure Anakin is still part of that story, but
did you
it's not
see,
like.
Did you see
so
that
is this where like is Picard gonna be in it?
Who?
No, I think Picard. Shatner's in this one.
Okay, good.
No, who played Janeway?
I totally didn't hear what you just said. Screw you, Spangle.
No,
you know what is funny? I was
this
at...
one's got Admiral Adama.
Nobody cares.
Does he say it's a trap?
I was at PopCon this past weekend, and PopCon is kind of like Gen Con or Comic Con, but it's like a variety of pop cultures and geek cultures. And it was
so
really
Comic Con.
Yeah, it was pretty fun and interesting.
So was any con, really.
You know, Gen Con's pretty focused on games.
I'm pretty sure anything con. In
got
the
to
name.
Hit on a few nerd ladies. Go out and meet the people and shake the hands and hung out with
the plebs
and Rupert and the plebs and all the nerds and everything.
Right. I mean, am I wrong? But is that not libertarians?
I will,
every day.
It is amazing to me.
I can't believe people watching the Super Bowl when the government's killing people in the Middle East.
It is true.
Like, are you kidding me?
But it is amazing to me.
The Super Bowl's on right now.
I'm just gonna keep going. I'm just gonna keep talking.
No,
maybe I'll get through it.
You should have known by now. That's how you do this podcast.
And so, when
hey, I got another hour in me, bro.
I will say it is funny how few Star Wars. There's like no Star Wars and no Star Trek at these conventions.
The worst convention ever.
Yeah, it's there's a ton of Doctor Who. There's a ton of like Asian gaming.
Well, those are what's popular
things.
Right now. Star Trek hasn't like they've had the movies, but they haven't really had a show.
Right.
In a while.
That's like damn, that sounds like the worst. That sounds like the worst convention ever.
It is actually a lot of fun, and I don't understand any of the culture.
Well,
at all.
You met Q, the, right? He's this, from Star Trek.
I took thing, a, like, an illegal photo of Q from Star Trek.
This is the thing,
and
I'm,
I was across the aisle from Flash Gordon.
You
all
even
day.
Had the sign that said no
"I'm a
photos.
Yeah."
I'm a pretty impressed. I'm a pretty open minded person when it comes to nerd culture. Like I'm pretty much like every kind of nerd you can think of. And, you know, I'm like the sciencey kind of nerd, the history kind of nerd, the comic book nerd, Star Wars nerd,
like Doctor Who.
Like I haven't actually watched that. I'm sure I could like it.
I've seen a couple episodes. It's pretty, British.
But like one thing I am not a nerd with, and I cannot find myself ever becoming a nerd of, is like an anime nerd. And I know a lot of
if you watch Cowboy Bebop.
No,
it's
I watched Dragon Ball Z, and I am excited.
Ball Z is not good anime.
I am excited
if
for the new Dragon
in anime. Cowboy Bebop.
I am excited for new Dragon Ball Z. It's not gonna be called Dragon Ball Z. I am excited for those episodes.
I hate
Dragon
Ball Z.
But like
so much.
Anime, I'm just not. I can't ever do it. Like I used to work at a hotel and we had an anime convention come in and it was nothing but 14-year-old girls wearing cat ears. Like I don't know how
I mean,
people
that's
did
the
that.
Majority of it. But there's some good animes.
That's like the majority of it.
But there's some cool dudes.
No, there's.
but there's.
I haven't been to any
seen the art. Have you seen the artwork,
there's
man?
There's like two animes I'll enjoy. Like Dragon Ball Z, that's garbage. That's you'll have an episode that's like.
Hey, you
a
get,
fight scene.
You can get out.
And then
of here.
The next episode is Gohan's birthday, and that's all that happens. We watch
what
the 6-year old have a birthday.
What are you even talking about?
Dragon Ball Z, it's terrible.
They we're either so old
Cowboy Bebop,
or so much
just,
cooler than what's going on
Cowboy
right
Bebop.
Now.
So do not give a shit.
Cowboy Bebop
all.
Has twice the action with one.
I gotta stop you
episodes.
Because I'm not even listening to my own podcast.
We don't have to go down this road.
I stopped caring about my podcast 5 minutes ago.
15 episodes.
Shut up.
We don't have to go down this road. All I was trying to say is that Star Wars comes out in December.
Here we go. Turning off all the microphones. Greg, which one are you?
Why are we stopping?
We're not stopping. I'm just turning you off. Greg, can you talk?
I can talk.
Nope, nope. No,
can you hear me at all now?
Okay. Yeah, good. Nick? Yeah, all right, you can have a mic.
Yes.
All right, cool. There we go. It's just the three of us.
Well, this was an animated episode.
It always is with Creighton here.
It's wonderful.
He can't monster. Hear you, bro.
I thought we
so I don't want to talk about anime.
Animation, animated. anyway, though, it is Nick Taylor's last probably in person episode till he's home. You're getting a job in Tulsa.
Yeah, Tulsa.
Tulsa,
you've
Oklahoma.
Lost that loan.
Why would anyone go to Oklahoma?
Because that's where money is.
Yes. Is it? That's exactly where the money is.
Yeah. So you're going to Tulsa, and when do you leave?
Next Thursday, actually.
Oh, my God. Okay.
See, he got out of the military so he could be free, and then went for the FAA program, and now they tell him where to move, and he doesn't get to decide.
Hey, but we talked about it. He's gonna change it.
I could have turned it down.
Aren't you part,
I could have turned it down.
Aren't you part Cherokee?
She's staying here.
I could have turned it down.
Aren't you part Cherokee?
A little bit, yeah.
What about baby girl?
They've got Native American.
Going long distance for a while?
They've got Native camps.
For a little while.
All right.
That was Greg, by the way. Podcast listeners, that was Greg that said that.
It's just a kid.
Well, I am Cherokee, so I can say it.
I mean, we're all part Cherokee.
He goes, it's
we?
Where all the Cherokee.
Elizabeth Warren's part Cherokee.
Yeah, but he goes, it's where all the Cherokee, and I said camps
I said
are.
There are. I said there's a lot of Native American.
Yeah, you said Cherokee.
Hey, I actually have a card saying I'm Chippewa, so I can put
they
it
have no idea
on, like,
their mics aren't on, do they?
I'm Chippendale.
They're on. I turn them on. Because I realized that if I left the mics off, they'd keep talking and the three of us would stop talking.
Oh, wait. So none of that was silence. On mic? This was gold,
no,
dude.
No, it's on mic now, man.
So is. You leave for Tulsa next Thursday. What? How long?
Indefinitely, really.
Yeah?
Usually the typical time before I'll get a transfer is like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, geez.
No kidding.
Yeah, so hoping to go somewhere.
So you'll be back though, like Christmas.
So in 4 or 5 years, we can have a podcast.
No, he'll be back at like Christmas and sure, for, what, 3 times a year?
The first Christmas I'm not sure about yeah. just because of training and everything. But after that, it's a
so we'll do.
It's a thing that
we will make sure that we get the band
the
back together.
Unless the black hole that is the state of Oklahoma. No, it's not as bad.
Hey, you're not going to be far from Texas.
Kansas is the worst state in the union.
Well, yeah.
Well,
no.
Have you ever driven through Kansas?
Have you driven through Missouri?
Missouri's worse.
I've driven through Missouri.
No,
Kansas
I've driven through both.
Like, Two towns.
Kansas,
the entire length of
St. Louis.
Texas gets more credit than it deserves as far as driving through.
Well, they've got beaches.
You want to talk about
like
a state.
That adds like a
whole I mean,
like a
you have gas
level.
Stations,
yeah,
right?
But you
Kansas
can drive,
will have
you can drive from one city in Texas,
station.
And it'll take you 14 hours to get to those beaches.
I have done
I
UTEP to Texarkana before, going through Midland
hey,
and that's the worst
that's
drive on the plane.
It's absurd. It's ridiculous.
There's beer in Texarkana.
It's like there's the
and they're
cool
thirsty
cities.
In Atlanta.
There's the cool cities in Texas, and then there's nothing, and that's all. That's all Texas is.
It's like, well, that's
can
what
we
Kansas
can we
like,
can we raise
cool
can
cities.
We raise a beer? Can we raise
true.
A beer?
Kansas does
Kansas
have zero
City,
cool cities,
gentlemen.
And that's nothing.
Gentlemen,
that's the best.
Are you
got.
Mad that they're not listening to you while
can
you're
we,
talking?
Can we raise a beer? Can we raise a beer?
I drank all my beers.
Can we raise a beer to the Dukes of Hazzard, please?
I don't want to be racist.
I don't feel like I feel like that's insensitive.
I like my job.
Insensitive to who? Good old wholesome family watching TV viewers.
Orange sports car drivers.
There actually there was a an article today.
No, I've never seen Dukes of Hazzard.
That there was an article today. Which mic are you?
Just the only thing that I learned from that is that you can get away from the law if you cross the county line.
I'm just turning these all off. Okay. I read an article today that there were more black people on the Dukes of Hazzard than there were on Seinfeld and Friends.
I believe it.
You guys can talk now. There's nobody.
You know what? I read today that in the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy, there's no conversation between two women. Think about it.
I'm going to refer this to Greg.
There is men talking to women and men talking to men, but no two women have a conversation.
I think that ISIS has a lot of things we can learn from.
Oh, my God. All right, everybody, let's wrap up.
Let's wrap it up. This is the soapbox. Right,
Nick. Say whatever you'd like.
Man, I don't know. It was a fun podcast. It was a good podcast to go out on. For
definitely.
It was a fun one.
Was it?
It wasn't for you because you were coughing.
Did
you
get it? I enjoyed it.
Did you get it? Did you get it?
What is happening? Nick, continue.
Go Rand Paul.
I might be buzzed a little bit.
No.
I ate like 3 hamburgers before I came over.
I thought.
Oh, God. What?
3. Dude. I thought Greg just brought a 6-pack, but there are 9 beers on this table. Okay.
I didn't eat before I went to the gym, so I ate before I went to the gym. I had like 3 hamburgers.
I'm really, in one of our chats, Amir was talking about going to Wendy's, and I really just want this podcast to be over so I can go to get an Asiago chicken ranch.
Oh, those are the best.
Oh, my God.
Aren't
yeah, spicy.
Why don't you make some, like, mixed beans?
Do they still have frescata bread at Wendy's?
That chicken better be free range.
I've been eating, like, 1,600 calories
a
day.
You got it all in, like, Tupperware containers and
I know.
Everything.
You
can make the meanest split bean soup.
I can't.
The meanest split bean soup.
I've been eating, like, 1,600 calories a day for a month, and so I was like, today I'm just... F it. It's been a tough day. I'm gonna have a cheat day.
Is that a lot or is that not a lot?
No, like I'm supposed to eat 2,600.
Yeah, 2,000 calories is for like a 15-year-old.
Oh. But like I've gone from.
I just eat whatever I want.
On June 12th,
if you work out, you're supposed to eat like 3,000.
Yeah.
On June 12th, hold on. On June 12th, I was 289, and as of this morning, I am 272. So I've lost a ton of, while you're applauding me, I will turn your mics on. And so I've just been working out an hour a day, and I have been eating, like, I just haven't felt like eating, really. Hold on. Huh? Yeah.
Have you been going to
No, I've been working out an hour a day.
What are you doing?
Every day. Mostly cardio at this point. Because I really don't know what I'm doing.
One of those
cardio
buddies, listen, huh?
Listen, yeah, really. No,
just find some heavy shit
listen,
and just start throwing it around.
Listen, I promise you, go to a website, bodybuilding.com, some other website. Just find a rudimentary weightlifting plan. It could be for like 14-year-olds. Do it.
Right.
You'll benefit from it.
Do the circuit training.
It doesn't matter. Like yeah. If you're not lifting weights, then you're not doing it right.
Lifting yeah. weights.
Cardio
burns more
is
calories,
for your
right?
heart. It's not for anything that has to do with your body fat percentage or anything like
right.
that. Or your muscle strength.
Weightlifting always burns more calories, yes. I think.
I understand all of this. I just haven't gotten to it yet because I haven't had time to actually sit down and do it, and I don't want to just go in there and start throwing things around and hurt myself.
Well, your arms will
but after
get
we leave,
toned really
don't
quick,
take
too.
Any more cough medicine. Go on your computer. Oh.
I'm taking 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, 2 bennies, and a cough medicine. And
ibuprofen.
I'm
and a cough medicine.
It's always best to take the cough medicine before the workout.
Right before you drive to Wendy's yeah. and get an Asiago.
Exactly. Right. But so, like, I'm just, like, starving today. So I'm just, like, I'm going to hit my calorie goal today because I just can't take it anymore. I'm not miserable. I'm not hungry all the time. It's just, like, for whatever reason, I was just, like, I just need to eat something today. And I'm going to eat crap. And
I feel like
I didn't enjoy
day.
It. I didn't even get through my Panda Express this afternoon. I haven't had Panda Express in a month, and it was just like, ugh.
So much MSG, bro.
Give me a smoothie. It's too salty, yeah. I want my smoothie back. So going full smoothie tomorrow.
I ate a lot of Jimmy John's.
We're almost done. Is there anything else you would like to conclude with?
No, I mean, I know a lot of people will probably hate me after this podcast, along with Greg, for expressing my opinions.
I get hated all the time. Not one
market.
Listener likes me. that's pretty accurate.
But, I hope I'll be able to join you guys again soon anyway.
We will Skype you in once you get in there and get settled, and, you can talk about changing the federal government from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
Are you
bring this all
throwing
crumbling
down words
to the ground
right now?
What
are you throwing down words?
No,
I think he did throw.
I think you're throwing down words, bro.
Throwing down words.
Yeah, dude, bro.
He knows that I'm an inside job kind of guy. I am.
You
a-
know, if there's anyone at this table who's more for working within the system, it's me.
And I'm telling him to change it from inside.
Well. The implication was that I was arguing against that.
Oh, you're saying don't do it?
That's not what I'm saying.
I have multiple military friends that are now libertarians because
yeah,
of
dude.
Exactly. You're changing from the inside. You're like a virus in the yes. federal government.
It's going to spread.
Dude, he's
my libertarian friends are going to talk
to
other non-libertarians.
I've heard him talking on his phone in his room. He's totally part of Jade Helm.
I'm telling everybody that Nick Taylor is a virus spreader.
Yeah.
All right, Peffers.
No one tell me what happened on True Detective, because I'm watching that right now.
It sucks. That's what happened.
It doesn't suck.
Spangle is the only person who would possibly know what you're talking about.
I just watched...
Lots of people know what True Detective is. It was pretty popular.
You know
popular.
Who Alexandra Daddario is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you know what True Detective is.
Yeah. Yeah. Good Lord. I watched the first season last week, and I got to tell you, I thought it would be better than it was based on the reviews.
I've seen the first episode... it was pretty good.
It's not bad. I think Matthew McConaughey is really good in that. But this next season, Vince Vaughn is not believable as a bad guy whatsoever. He like walks in it.
I thought he was one of the detectives, and you're already saying he's a bad guy.
He's like,
what did I just say?
He's like,
what did I just say?
He's like this Vegas hotshot casino
manager.
Wait,
is it Swingers?
And he
you're saying Vince Vaughn isn't believable as a douche because that's all I believed him as.
But it's not like a douchey role. He's like, I'll break that guy's legs for you, and all you're thinking is like, where's Owen? What's his face coming out of this broken nose? And they're gonna
Owen
pick up bag chicks. All right,
hey, Vince Vaughn's a Ron Paul guy. All right,
Greg,
show some respect.
I think he is. Yeah.
Oh, he is. He actually is.
Oh, what else happened this week? You know what? Next week we have Abdul on. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be me and Abdul. Yep.
You got Abdul.
You guys doing it on Thursday again?
Yep.
And so we're going to talk about, well, we'll see. Because I made
remember
a meme
I wasn't
with him
invited
today.
Last time there was a special guest.
No, none of you are invited.
I might.
You're not invited.
You think I'll embarrass you in front of Abdul?
I might have to come.
I can't have Abdul punching Creighton in the face.
No.
Because there's only one.
Are you kidding me?
If Creighton hits back, it's a hate crime.
It sounds like if Abdul punched Creighton in the face, it would be the best episode of the podcast.
It probably would. The last time that happened,
it was pretty
last time Abdul punched you in the face.
No, the last time somebody tried to punch me in the face, it was a great story.
I forgot that already happened with someone.
It's pretty good. It's one of my favorite memories ever.
I never forget.
So that's next Thursday.
I'm
you know
totally
what?
Coming.
I am going to have
he's going
to some
show up
outside
with
the
guitar.
Box questions prepared for him because I imagine we're going to talk local because that's his emphasis. But
maybe.
You never get to hear Abdul talk nationally very often. So I'm going to see if he will engage in a discussion about that and maybe even foreign policy oriented.
Totally, yeah.
Well, we will do that. And then I apologize, Ryan Connor. I did not get to Brazil and the team that's leading the Liberty Movement
down
there.
Yeah, dude, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, we will discuss that probably at the end of
the
next show
last time.
And other than that, Nick, it's been awesome getting to hang out with you and getting to know you since you've been on. I did not get to experience Goose because that was before my wall time. That was GL.
That was 16.
GL wall.
That was literally 100
You've
episodes.
You've lost that love and feeling. And but it's been fun. We'll have you on when you get out there and get settled. Best of luck, buddy.
Oh man, I gotta call an IP violation on the prom queen of Liberty.
What?
She stole my IG pic. C Spangle. Check out my sheet.
Oh man,
Whitney.
Yeah, that literally was gibberish.
I don't have Instagram, so I don't know.
I don't know what
Instagram,
that means, but it sounds
that's
awesome.
What IG is.
The prom,
no one knows what it means, but it's exotic. It gets people going.
The prom queen of Liberty, Whitney Davis, writes captioned this, and then her caption is Creighton's outfit makes me want to vomit and LOL at the same time. America as fuck.
Oh,
so and she stole my photo and put it on her Instagram.
Oh yeah, hi Whitney.
Hey babe. Hey, babe. I just turned into Sammy Davis Jr. for whatever reason. Hey, babe. Anybody want to see my glass eye? All right.
I don't even know what that means.
I know.
I know who Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's all I know about Sammy Davis Jr.
You don't know that he was the original black Jew.
He's
Jewish?
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about...
Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra,
right.
Dean Martin, glass eye. AIDS.
I didn't know he had
drug use.
Yeah, I don't know any of that.
The Sahara.
I know he was part of the
I know
rat
he was
pack.
The black rat pack guy.
Yeah.
Token.
That is the extent of my Sammy Davis Jr. knowledge.
I swear to God, I'm putting you guys through an education
too. He played
camp,
like Trumpet
you're not
or something.
Gonna be able to lose.
You're talking
seriously.
To a guy
played
who's
like
been,
Trumpet or
no,
something,
listen,
right?
Literally. You can ask Nick here. I've been listening to nothing but like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Bobby Darin for like the past like 6 days.
Yeah, man, I've gone straight back to the 20s.
Nah.
That's way after the 20s.
Greg, are you
I
finished?
Have been listening
I'm
to
finished.
Cab Calloway, though.
All right, your turn, Creighton.
My turn?
Oh,
all right.
You fight.
Now
is it my turn?
Creighton's time to talk, everybody. Let's all be quiet. Let's all just sit here quiet.
My final words?
American girls and American guys, they'll always stand up and salute. They'll always recognize when they see Old Glory flying. There's a lot of men dead. But we can stay sleep at home at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. He lost his right eye and he put a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
All right, I'm good. That's all I wanted to do.
He's good, guys.
I just want to point out that no lyrics were needed.
No.
We've been to Liberty Karaoke with him before. Memory. We know how it feels about Wagon Wheel.
That was straight from
Wagon
memory.
Wheel is the shit, bro.
Let's hear.
For real?
Yeah, let's hear a little bit.
I don't...
Heading down...
Oh, yeah.
Head down south to the land of the pines, thumb my way to North Carolina, staring at the road and pray to God I see headlights.
Keep going.
No, dude. I'm drunk.
Five minutes ago, I might be a little bit buzzed.
It looks like somebody's hanging out tonight.
I mean, I told you guys we had plenty of time left because I got to kill some of this off. So,
well,
I only had beer, so.
And three cheeseburgers.
Are there any left?
There's one in the fridge. You want it?
Oh, dude, totally.
No, you can't be here all night. I have to go to bed.
Well, you're
going to
watch True Detective with me.
Oh, God.
No one listening heard what Creighton just said.
He's going to watch True Detective with me. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I don't think I have
I'll be back next week, everybody.
No, you won't.
I'm actually thinking about getting one of those Darth Vader costumes that are like movie quality.
I'm putting up the video.
How much could Star Wars have possibly spent on a costume like that?
Dude,
right?
if I get a Darth Vader movie quality costume, I'm keeping that thing forever.
Oh,
did
man.
You wait? Did you see the thing I posted the other day on Facebook? The Star Wars comic.
No.
Okay, look at my Facebook.
I'm pretty
page.
Sure we're friends, but I don't think I've seen a post from you in a long time.
Look at my Facebook page. Just when you get a chance, look at my Facebook page. It is literally the saddest one page comic strip I've ever seen in my life.
I think I did see that, and I didn't get it at all.
Well, look at it again.
Okay. I think it had, like, Leia, or it was, like, about, it had, like, a, yeah, it had all the Skywalkers in it,
Do
right?
you watch Star Wars? Have you ever seen?
Yeah, I've seen Star Wars.
When? How many times?
Growing up, like, 100 times for the trilogy, and then
How do you
the
not know
trilogy.
What's happening in that
I gave
comic?
Up. I'm sorry, listeners. I like literally just tuned out like 5 minutes ago and started posting the video of Creighton singing drunk on Instagram.
So as far as next week goes,
I'll check it again.
I'll
but
be
I don't
here, bro.
Think I recognize it.
No, you can't. You're not invited.
I don't care.
So he's gonna have his kids down your
door. I know where you live.
Flags.
All right.
I'm gonna show up in some other. Episode.
My poor this voice.
This should be my new shtick.
I have nothing. My poor voice can't handle anymore. It's just been too freeing. Too liberating. My vocal cords.
Yeah! Liberation! Freedom!
All right, kids. Thank you for joining
wreck!
Us. Thank you for joining us here on this episode. Oh, the video of Creighton singing is on Instagram at We Are Libertarians. And it just started playing, and I looked down, and it's hilarious.
Oh, I would imagine.
All right. Thanks for joining us. You know, this has been an episode of We Are Libertarians, and as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.